Unscripted, unedited, uneducated, unconventional, uncensored. Welcome to Illumination Podcast.
Not just any old Illumination podcast, it is episode 100 of Illumination! And we're recording it live. It's not live. You'll probably listen to it as a recording because that's how podcast works.
Yeah, right.
I'm Bob, your host. I'm here with my dad, Dave.
Hello.
Cousin Pauline.
Hello.
Wifey's here.
Hiya.
And we have a very special guest, somebody who's never done this before. So we're going to put the spotlight on her. This is representative of Michael Rivett. Is his daughter, Katie Rivett.
Hello.
Here she is. Do you want to give us a little bit of information about yourself? Where are you from?
Bexleigh.
Good. Yeah. And how old are you?
16.
I mean, I know the answers to these questions, but this is just for the listeners, yeah. So it's a full house. There's five of us.
Wow.
Yay.
I know. It's a bit crowded in here, Dave. Can you get your elbow at me side?
Side of what?
Side of my head. So how are we? How are we, everyone? This is exciting.
Fair to middling.
Okay, good.
Sad.
Wow, why are you sad, Pauline?
Because of the England game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they lost. Yeah. But then all the way through the tournament, I was thinking, where's that disappointment feeling I normally get?
Oh, no.
And they didn't let me down, did they? So.
Oh, well.
There's always the World Cup, isn't there? Yeah, exactly. Move on.
Next time.
Yeah, how do you feel about it, wifey?
Don't give a damn.
Okay, good. Katie, did you get involved?
Don't really care.
Good. Yeah, okay. Okay, good ratio there.
Didn't ask Dave what he thought.
Dave, what did you think?
I'm not bothered one way or the other. I didn't really want him to win, to tell the truth. I don't know why, I just didn't.
I don't like all the
hysteria and that, you know.
Yeah,
it's
coming home,
it gets on your nerves, doesn't it? And the internationals just don't do it for me, I'm afraid.
You're a league man.
I'm going down to the sort of the level.
Grassroots.
Yeah, grassroots.
Jumpers for goalposts.
National League South is where my loyalties lie now.
I don't think you'll get a game, to be honest.
All right, I might.
Yeah, actually see some of them. Do you want to explain what we're doing, Dave?
Yeah, we're going to answer set questions that we've allowed ourselves and... we got some interesting ones, and I think we're ready to roll nearly.
Well, so, yeah, this is the 100th episode where we got some testimonials coming up. We've got a Get It Off Your Chest coming up. We've got all sorts coming up.
So
we've got an official Get It Off Your Chest. Yeah, it's exciting. So we might as well start then. Dave, I've got a question for you.
Oh.
Somebody sent me a question today and said, this is for Dave. Now, this is going to be quite boring for everyone out there, but do you remember Chris Hayward? The personal estate agent.
Yeah. He sponsored. Get it off your chest.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He sounded like a very stern teacher, in a good way. His question, Dave, is: numbers are infinite, right? Words are not, right? So every word is a number. For example, a million, billion, zillion, quadrillion, septillion. What's next?
Say them again.
Million, billion, zillion, quadrillion, septillion.
Well, it can't be just a trillion, can it?
No, can it?
Or is it a gazillion?
Well, you didn't say trillion, did you?
Octavian.
Is it? That's what I'm asking.
Is it?
You said that very, like, you, but, I mean, I want it to be that now, Kate.
Oh, I'm really rooting.
Yeah, I'll get you.
I mean, I don't know the answer, so this...
Does he know the answer?
No. He's asking you, Dave. He's asking you. He said, what is it? A hot dog? A Blimpton? A Robert Rivington? Hey, little joke there from Chris. Thank you, Chris, for that. We don't know is the answer to that.
No.
Thank you very much.
I reckon Kate's right.
It was a bit smart. Yeah, Kate, what was your answer?
Octillion.
It sounds clever,
that
doesn't
sounds
it?
Weird.
It does.
It's still like gazillion, because that's what he says.
I can't believe trillion wasn't there.
A gazillion.
Well, he didn't say trillion, did he? So, but, you know, it could have been lost in the atmosphere of WhatsApp, so other texting platforms are available. Question one, Dave, let's go.
Right, I'm going to start with this question. What's the hardest you've ever worked?
Is this a kind of getting to know you kind of thing?
Just getting to know you.
All right, calm down. You all right, wifey?
Yeah.
Well, start with you, dear wifey. What's the hardest you've ever worked?
The hardest I've ever worked is when I was working up in London for a charity.
Ooh, London!
Why?
I don't know.
And we moved the office over a weekend and there weren't very many volunteers.
What, brick by brick?
Yeah, brick by brick. and I was crawling around on my hands and knees, unplugging phone. It was the dirtiest, filthiest.
Why was you doing it?
Because there wasn't anybody else. So
what, removal men?
You've been to that building. You went to that
building.
Yeah,
I've been there, I know.
So you know.
But removal men and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, we had some foreign removal men who were stripped to the waist.
They worked bloody hard.
They did work really hard, quite attractive.
But it was like a Diet Coke break. I don't want you to
do it. But there was so much to do in these 2 days that I felt that I needed to help. So I was moving filing.
Oh, that's your problem, wifey. That is your problem. You always like getting involved, didn't you? I remember you told me that story about a paper delivery. And if anybody's ever taken a paper delivery, a box of paper is quite heavy. So to take like 5 reams of paper and then there's like 20, 25 boxes. You were leaving the office and you walked out and you was like, oh, they look like they're struggling. I'll go and help. So you went and helped them do their job.
Yeah, I did.
And then they walk off and leave you to it.
But it was
crazy.
And putting the water bottles on, you know, the big.
Oh, the old fashioned. Yeah, they're old fashioned now, aren't they? Yeah. The old big thing. Yeah. I used to do that as well.
And I worked my everything off that weekend for £10 an hour. And I've never been so shattered in all my life.
So. Well, there you go.
What about you, Paul?
Moving a whole office.
Well.
Here we go.
Mine is a bit of
We want fact, not fiction, by the way.
did he say fact?
It's always got to have a little...
Dig, yeah, a little dig. Yeah, you can't just let you have your moment.
Well, but I've got two, but one of them isn't... let me explain. So my first one is... If you've ever worked in Argos over Christmas a few years back, not now, but years ago, upstairs running around Christmas Eve, absolutely shattered. Everyone's not bought no presents. They're all in at the last minute.
Is this the warehouse behind the scenes?
Yeah, the upstairs where you're picking it all. Okay. I offered, stupid, to go upstairs and
help. Oh, you're as bad as wifey.
Oh, my God.
Right,
It's in the jeans.
Oh, the sweat was pouring off me at the end of the day.
Good workout.
It was. But another one... which was not really working, but when I done Race for Life. So I've gone from not really ever doing any movement.
Bed-bound.
I can run 5K in a minute.
Was that the conditions?
I've never, ever, ever...
Did you walk it?
Well, I started off thinking, oh, this is great. This is easy. I can do this. Running
and my friend, she did the running like we don't know what that looks
my
like.
My friend didn't like, you know, you wear a number,
yeah,
and it says your name on it. Well, the name on mine, because I'd gone with my friend,
was it Cassie?
No, it was Rebecca. Because I went with my friend who works for Tesco's and she managed to get everyone in, I don't know, just to do the race. But the Rebecca, I was taking her place. So she said, I'm really sorry, we haven't got one with Pauline. Oh, don't worry about that.
I'll be Rebecca for the day. I hate the name Pauline, it's shit.
Yeah, so you should have seen me in the last bit of this race. You know when they're going, you're at the end and everyone's cheering and clapping. I was just this big, bright red face, sweating, like thinking, I've got to get to the end, I've got to get to the end. And the bloke on the microphone, come on, Rebecca, come on, you're nearly there. And I'm running, well, crawling, and then crossed the line. I've never been so knackered. And every muscle, I was walking back to the car, like, I don't know how to make it.
I bet you hurt the next day.
I hurt the next day, like you wouldn't believe. I laid in the bath that night. And thought, oh,
no water in it, just laid in the bath.
With a big spider.
Yeah.
That was the most I remember my body.
Where's the medal now?
Hanging up in my bedroom on the mirror. I'm so proud.
It's still
and
there.
I raised money. When was that? But 6 months after mum died of cancer, so I think that's what gave me the push.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to keep going. I was one of the last that come in and they waited for me.
It was getting dark.
she was behind the bloke in the full wetsuit, in the full diving suit.
Yeah, and the rhinos.
You should have seen my face. Like, it was red as if I never thought we had to calm down again. Like, it would just be that colour. I burst every blood vessel.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so that's mine.
Wow.
Now, Pauline, have you... Kate, have you ever actually worked hard in your life?
This week I have.
What? Oh, hello.
Well done.
Hello. Hello. Well, we'll be the judge of this. Come on.
Because I've been working with Dad, doing plumbing stuff, and I had to, like, demolish walls and stuff, like, get tiles off the walls, dig up all the tiles off the floor.
Physical labour, not used to that.
No, not at all. Metal day.
At least you're honest.
Yeah. So going from that to digging tiles off walls... It was exhausting. And yeah, that's the hardest I've ever.
Was that just one day?
That was like 4 days, maybe.
Oh, that's a lot. It's quite a lot.
Two separate bathrooms, and then it took like 2 days each.
Did he give you a tool or just use your hands?
Yeah, just hands.
Yeah. He paid you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right then.
No, he gave me a pat on the head.
Oh, God, you can come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hammer and chisel.
Hammer and chisel. Yeah.
Oh, well,
protective eye gear, I hope. Health and safety.
Yeah.
That was a no.
Yeah,
well, she has worked hard. And I could imagine Michael being a bit of a slave driver as well. I bet he was in the corner drinking tea, having a bacon sarnie.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, well, go on, girl.
Someone else, but I don't think he'd do it to Kelly.
No.
No.
It did to you, Bob.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Go on, Robert.
Well, I've got two on this. I know. I've got an interesting one and a boring one.
I'll do the interesting one.
Okay, then. All right then. Well, I'm down with the kids. I have worked on a lot of sets behind the scenes and done any job to be around the production of making a TV show, right? Somebody asked me to do cable bashing.
No, the interesting one.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Somebody asked me to do cable bashing. Which is when there's a freestanding, like a cameraman with a camera on his shoulders, he goes anywhere and you have to feed the wire to him and reel it back up. So they asked me to do this at the Grime Awards, of all places, right? At the Roundhouse in London. When we started off, you've got the stage and a massive gap and then the front row of seats. And loads of seats. The place was packed, right? And I was there about 7 in the morning for set up. Everyone setting up, everyone doing stuff, running around. I got lunches for people. I was a runner for the day and then cable bashing in the actual event. So it gets dark and all the guests start turning up. Everyone's in their tuxedos and there are people there from Love Island that I don't know who they are. People going, oh, that's him. That Stormzy was there with his missus. And there was loads of people there that I didn't know. And we practiced and that. You say, yeah, I'm just going to go up here. I'm just going to go over there. So just feed me out, feed it back in. Brilliant. Okay. Just so that it's not kind of tripping people over or anything like that. So we had it planned, done. So the show starts and the audience all stand up and go to the stage. So that alley that we was going to work in is not there anymore. So I'm feeding this cable through a crowd of people. So you have to go in, make sure it's on the ground so it's not like up like a trip hazard. So I'm in a crowd of people twerking and all this. I got punched in the head. I got kneed in the back. I was like crouched down trying to feed him, bring it back, not being able to see where he's actually going or what he's doing at the other end and pulling it back out. And then I had to go in the crowd and it was... And for a whole award show, for like four and a half hours, I was literally, my T-shirt was soaking wet. Yeah, I was dripping with sweat. And I left there and even I walked out to the truck where they're sort of listening on headphones and on screens, sort of going, right, go to camera two, go to camera three. And I walked up and they went, you're all right. And
you
I was just
sweat. The best of times.
Oh, God, I'm a big sweater. Yeah, Jesus. And it was mental. Yeah, it was just I've done cable bashing before, but that was just incredible. The heat was, and I couldn't just go, nah, I've had enough now. I was there until the end of the show. I couldn't wait for the, you know, people like Dave. Do you know Dave is Kate? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was there. He did a song. Lethal Bizzle was there. There was loads of people there. Somebody got a Lifetime Achievement Award and he was only about 12. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works, but yeah. So that was the hardest I ever worked. Dave?
I thought you had two.
Yeah, I did. The other ones, it was at Tilbury. as a radiographer's assistant, and I had to climb through a hole, like very small hole, into the boiler.
They weren't happy times for you, were they,
Robert? It was a bad time, yeah. I mean, you go into the boiler and it's just dust everywhere, and you've got about four masks on, visor, boiler suit, and it's boiling hot in there already.
Like the nurses during COVID.
I personally think it's more worse than that, because everything's covered in dust. You can't see for dust in the place, and you have to go in there. It was horrible. They always used to ask somebody, oh, can somebody just stay out here? Because there's only allowed four people in there at a time. So when somebody comes out, somebody else can go back in. Can somebody just sit outside? I'm like, yep, my hand went straight up. Yeah, I'll sit outside. No worries. I'll do that all day as soon as you have to go in there. And at one point, my safety goggles, because I was looking down, I couldn't see for the sweat in my glasses. Protective goggles were full of sweat. And you have to sort of, but as soon as you get any open space on your boiler suit or anything and the dust gets in, you can't be in there anymore. It's a danger. So being sweaty, it sticks to you. It's horrible. But that was a horrible, hard time, whereas Grime Awards was quite an enjoyment afterwards, but very hard working. Thank you. Next!
Well, my one goes back to early 1985, and I was sort of in between jobs, and your mum's wife's brother, he's got his own building firm. And every now and again, he'd call me up and say, you know, can you come and help me with this? Can you help me with that? Or can you go there? And I remember we went to a big posh flat up at St John's Wood near Lord's Cricket Ground, and we'd done some work there. Another one was a sunken car park in Rotherhithe Post Office.
A sunken car park?
Yeah, you actually came up with Michael as kids when we was hosing it down the day after. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's sunken down. We had to dig it all out and fill it with... actually, they brought up a lot of stones from the coast in the lorries, and you could smell the sea. Oh, anyway, but that weren't the job. He asked me, could I go to... he wasn't going to be there, but he was doing some places up in Crystal Palace. It's when we lived on Thamesmead. And he says, can you go up there? And I went up there and was just doing odd jobs around the place, clearing out the garden and that. And it got to about, it was for 2 days. This is the first day. And about just after lunch, this bloke come up to me and he goes, you Dave? I said, yeah. He goes, oh, we've got a delivery of cement and aggregate. Can you come and help us? There's two lorries.
Oh, God.
And so I went up there, there's two full lorries full of all these sacks. And this bloke, he looked like a bit like a, he had the body of like a young Sylvester Stallone, you know. And he had no top on, he's all rippling muscles.
Boxing gloves.
And he grabs two of these bags, one on each shoulder, and you have to run down these stairs, go down the next set of stairs, through the house and put them up the top of the end of the garden.
Oh, God.
And I thought, God, blimey. Anyway, maybe not too bad. I put one on, and I thought, I ain't gonna put two on. So I didn't even try. You know, I'd done one, and for the first six or seven trips, it was okay. But then
you reach the point. You just physically
they
can't
got
do it anymore.
Heavier and heavier. Anyway, it went right through, and he obviously done a lot more than I did. But we emptied these two lorries of this stuff, and by the time we'd done it, it was time to go. You know, and I remember I didn't have a car at the time. I was going back on the old 122 bus,
classic.
And I got up about level with Plumstead bus garage, and I thought I can't feel my legs. And anyway, that night I went a bit early, and in the morning, of every intention of going back the following day, I woke up and I just couldn't move. I was absolutely seized up. So I had to get your mum to ring her brother and tell her that he's incapable of coming back to her.
You've broken him.
It must have seemed like feeble excuse. I literally couldn't move. I was absolutely seized up. I was seized up for about a week afterwards. It absolutely done me in. And that was the worst. I mean, I've had hard days at work, hard days sort of mentally at work where things have gone wrong and stuff, yeah. You know. But that was the hardest physical labour I'd ever had.
It's funny, isn't it? As a kid, the thing about playing, I used to play football for like 24 hours and come home when it's dark. And then doing like an hour of lifting something, I'm out. I'm out.
I never got tired playing football.
Day.
Even in the sunshine, no water, nothing.
We used to play in snow and everything. Yeah. Well, that was a little insight into how hard we've got.
Do you have another question, Robert?
Well, did you want a little... So, as I mentioned, we've got a few testimonials from listeners. So, we're going to start off with this one.
Hey, guys. Jane and Olivia from South Carolina here.
Hello.
We just wanted to congratulate you on 100 episodes of Elimination Podcast. I couldn't even get my own podcast to 100 episodes. Psych You Out.
No, you should be doing that.
Psych You Out can be found on all your favorite podcast services. Give it a listen. Anyway.
Congratulations on 100 episodes.
And we look forward to another 100 episodes of Elimination Podcast. Congrats, guys.
There you are, Jane from South Carolina. Yeah. He's a regular.
Her daughter sounds just like her, doesn't she?
Is that a daughter?
Is that a daughter?
I assumed it was her daughter.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I know. I thought she does a podcast with her, doesn't she?
No, she does a podcast with Laurie.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even know she'd done a podcast.
It's not going anymore, though, is it? I think that's what she said. It didn't get to 100. Yeah. But yeah, thank you, Jane.
And thank you
for listening. Yeah, thanks for being part of the Elimination family.
I've listened to it, by the way. I quite enjoy it.
Maybe they should bring it back then.
Yeah, bring it back. It's quite funny.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Good recommendation.
Yeah.
Should we go on to another question?
Okay, next question. What animals do you dislike?
This was one of the easiest questions for me, to be honest.
Well, you go first then.
Monkeys.
What?
I just hate monkeys. They're ugly. I can't even look at one for very long.
Every monkey,
they're so cute. Yeah, it'll rip your face off.
I don't like monkeys.
Yeah. I mean, them videos where you see, the little boy's falling into the gorilla closure. I can't watch that. I don't know if it's going to eat it or fuck it. I mean, I don't know. I know, but that's how it makes me feel. I think, I don't want to watch it now. No, I'm not watching this.
Oh.
I can't
help. I don't like the one with bums.
Gibbons.
But I do like Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
So,
it's a bit weird.
Yeah, but they don't show their bums.
And they're not monkeys.
They're apes. Planet of the Monkeys.
The people with masks on, Bob.
Yeah, back in the 70s, wifey, maybe. Yeah. Not now. Sandy Circus.
Is that the only one?
No, I put anything in the ocean.
What, including Nemo?
Yeah, because...
Not Nemo.
You know what? You just don't know what's in it. I hate the sea. I went in and see when I was in the Maldives. Woo! And there's loads of tropical fish. They're like fish, but better. And there's loads of them, all colourful and that. And I'm thinking, look. And then one of them bit me. And I came running out to sea, and it was still on my leg, flapping, like with bitten. And I had to whack it off. And it was just different things, like, at that same time, people, I can't remember what it's called, but that big fish that goes along with its mouth open.
Whale shark.
Basking shark.
I don't know what it was, but it's. I don't think it's a shark. It's like a, well, maybe it is type of shark. They're all types of sharks, aren't they? Anyway, so in the Maldives again, they're like, oh my God, it's one of them. It's one of them. And everyone grabs their snorkels and off they go running into the sea. And I think, No.
You're running the other way.
Yeah, I'm like, you're idiots. Like, have you not seen Jaws? Like, this is ridiculous. It's true. I just don't like anything in the ocean. You see these big whales and all that. You just don't eat sharks, obviously.
I got bitten by a fish in Greece.
Exactly. See, that Did proves my it? Point.
Yeah. It was when I was walking out.
What, the fish and chip shop?
No, we'd been for a swim and they've played with the waves and we just walked time for lunch. Walking out, and suddenly it was like someone slashed me toe with a razor blade. It was really. I thought, oh, blood, what's that like? You know,
he thought he'd trodden on something.
Well, no, it didn't because it was on the top of me toe. Oh.
Was he upside down?
Yeah.
So I got out, and there it was. Couldn't stop it bleeding. But there was this woman. I went up to in the Greek beaches. They always have a shower at the top of the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went up there and I was just rinsing off. It just kept bleeding, like, you know. And this bloke came up to me. He goes, "You all right there, mate?" I said, "says yeah, I think I've been bitten." He goes, "Bitten?" He goes, "Oh, hang on." He went and got some germaline. He goes, "Try putting that on it." So I did. And when he went back, I heard his wife say, "What did that man say?" He goes, "Oh, he got bitten by something out there." He goes, "I ain't going out there again." I don't think she did either.
Put you off for life, that will, yeah. You just don't know what's out there. You know, you got the octopuses and jellyfish. Yeah, I just, yeah. I know.
Is it octopuses?
Octopi.
Octopi. There might be octopuses, actually. Someone will know.
Octopussy. so that was
What about you, Kate?
I like all animals, to be honest.
Oh,
that's nice.
We're counting insects here.
Oh, no.
Oh, are we?
Spiders.
Oh, yeah, fuck spiders.
Does anybody here actually like spiders?
I don't mind a spider. I've held tarantula a few times.
No, but I mean, what about when you get the big black ones running around the skirting board? Do you deal with
running around the skirting board on the skateboard.
It don't, like, shit me up.
Do you have to get rid of it, though?
I'd have to get rid of it, but never kill it.
Oh, you're joking.
Get it in a glass or whatever and put it out the window.
No. Out the window, come straight back in the door.
No, I couldn't kill it. Why would you want to kill it?
Because it's in my house.
Yeah.
Scaring me.
They make me jump, but I'm not scared of them.
They don't survive in this house. We've got a lot of wifey around.
Spiders will take over the world.
If they're big enough, imagine like a human-sized spider. Like,
yeah. Didn't they make a film about that?
Yeah.
Eight-legged freaks.
Mm.
You should watch that. No. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. It is one of them. And I think my fear of it comes from you, wifey, because
I do apologise.
No, I mean, it is the surprise, like Pauline said. It's more,
it's the legs and the movement. So many things. They're all horrendous.
They're ugly, aren't they?
But if somebody had like something in a glass or something like that, like, oh, look at this. Oh, yeah, you'd look at it. Yeah. That's fine. But it's when you're just doing your daily stuff and then all of a sudden black. Yeah, oh! No. And then you have to stare at it because if you take your eyes off it, it's going to be gone.
It's even if it's in a jar. No, thank you.
When Reese was little, so my nephew, do I have to say that so everyone knows?
Yeah, you might as well.
When he was little, so that he didn't become scared of spiders, Susie used to call every spider Dave. So when he was a kid, he thought every spider was called Dave. So that it made them more friendly that they had a name. So when they took it out and you say,
See you later, Dave.
And let Dave go.
Well, I think all the spiders that come into our house are called Dave because I go, Dave!
Oh, yes. The spider scream.
Yeah, there's a different tone to the spider scream. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But what if you're in the house on your own?
I'd sit outside until someone came back.
I've done
that before. I have done it before. I did it at Thamesmead. There was the biggest spider I've ever seen in the living room, and I went outside and I waited till he came back. Of course, I couldn't find it then, but I couldn't go back in that house. I just couldn't.
See, I'm surprised about that with you. I thought you'd be really quite...
Oh, there's nails.
Not with spiders, no. I got it from my mum. My mum was always terrified.
You had an incident, Dave, didn't you, with the fish tank you used to have?
Did I?
Crab. Yeah.
Oh, the crab, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a funny thing. I had a tropical fish tank, and I was in the old fish shop to get some new stock, and I had a little South American crab, little red crab.
Red and blue, it was.
Yeah, it was really entertaining. Well, cause I had sand in the bottom, not this grit, the coloured grit, the proper sand with real plants. And you stand there, and I built him a little house out of a half coconut. And he used to go in there, and at the end of the day, I used to put in an algae tablet, and the fish love them, but he liked them even more. And as you dropped it down, he'd go, dip, 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 he'd get halfway down, and he'd run out, and then he'd pick the whole thing up and run back in his house, and the fish couldn't get it. It was really hysterical. Aww. And then he shed his whole skin, you know, so he come out, and we thought he died. Oh, look, the crab's dead. But it weren't. He turned up about 3 weeks later. He just shed his outer coating, like his shell.
He just come walking out. Here I am.
Yeah, all gleaming. Yeah.
But then one morning, wasn't it? Yeah. Did you carry on, Jack?
Well, one morning I'm pottering around indoors like you always do, and I saw a spider out the corner of my eye in our bedroom, and I nearly pooped myself because it was the biggest one I'd ever seen in my life. But I felt that I should have a closer look, and when I looked, it was the crab.
What?
It had climbed out of the tank, walked across the landing, across our bedroom, and slid down the side of the wardrobe. And it was there, hard, dry, and very, very dead.
Oh, my God.
He must have got out and couldn't find his way home again.
Oh, was your gut excited.
I was, but of course I was frightened at first because I thought it was a blue and green, well, actually it was just dark, it was a shadow, and just these legs, you know, and I was thinking, oh my God, it's a big fat hairy one. But it wasn't, it was a dead, it was the dead crab.
Poor old crab.
Oh, I picked it up.
Did he have a name?
I told him.
No, he didn't have a name.
The crab with no name?
He was just a crab.
That's fair enough.
You got any others, Kate, apart from spiders?
No.
No. What about you, Jack?
No, mine were spiders. That's what I put down because I can't bear them. And they've made me cry. They have made me cry.
Oh.
The spider community.
Well, I don't, apologises. Like, I don't like monkeys or spiders, but I think my hated animal.
Spider monkeys, they would be the worst things. Yes, Kate.
There are spider monkeys, isn't there?
Yeah.
Lions. I hate lions. I think this thing about as...
Oh, is this a free lions thing again?
This thing about as brave as a lion. I mean, give us a break. They only hunting packs, don't they? And poor old buffalo, about six of them attack this poor old buffalo in the middle of the night so he can't fight back. But just one-on-one, I mean, they wouldn't stand a chance. I mean, not the old tiger, you know, where he stalks his prey, or the leopard, but no, the old moth-bitten old lion who sleeps and stinks all day on the old plains there, and then if you know, I feel a bit hungry, I'll get up. Come on, you, I'm not taking it on my own, so he has to get all his mates to go and hunt down this poor old deer or zebra or something. I just find them loathsome. I think they're horrible things.
Little fact about lions.
King of the jungle, do me a favour.
Well, King Kong is, let's face it. Little fact about lions, they're all called Dave. I don't think I've ever heard anybody...
No,
like,
I'm
slag off a lion.
About that one.
He's been saying it for years. Oh. They come on the telly,
I can't watch it when you see him. About 10 of them attacking
Simba?
Some zebra.
That's a cartoon.
Not in my eyes.
Simba. Him and all.
But mine's yeah. Snakes.
Snakes? Can't hold a snake.
Oh, no.
No?
No. We'd never hold a snake.
But you'd hold a tarantula.
Yeah, hey, I didn't mind a tarantula.
Oh, man.
That's, yeah, that's such a strange. Yeah, I mean, you are strange anyway, but.
Could you hold a cockroach?
Yeah. One of them big ones.
I wouldn't like, I don't think I'd like it, but I could, easy. But I could not hold a snake. Oh, no. They should never have been invented. We don't need them in life.
Oh. Well, gnats and mosquitoes, they're horrible, aren't they? Just sneak out when you're not looking and nick all your blood. When you're laying in bed at night, they come and get you, don't they? I've got one on the back of my leg now. Someone's got me.
Mosquitoes kill more people.
Yeah, that's true.
Mosquitoes don't kill people, rappers do. Little saying there. So is that the...
Put your angels on.
Snakes.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Snakes.
And rats.
Oh, hello.
That's a tail. It's not so much the rat... Because I like hamsters.
Well, so they've got tails, though, haven't they, hamsters?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. So
you could get a pet rat and just cut the tail off,
sew it up. No, so I think with a rat or a mouse or something, or a gerbil, it's the tail. Because I always had a hamster and loved hamsters because they ain't got a tail.
Yeah, I'm house-sitting at the moment for my fiancé's sister-in-law, and they've got a hamster, and Vic got it out and... It was running around all over the show.
Hamsters, but
well, they've got cats as well, though, haven't they?
Their cats are the worst.
Well, surely they're not going to put up with an hamster running around.
Their cats are out all the time. When they come in, they eat, they go out. I mean, one of them was out more than 24 hours. We didn't see it. And I said, I think it's gone. I think it's just... it's weird because they sort of... They do that thing where they come over and they want to be stroked. And then you go to stroke them and they go away. It just annoyed me. I'm like, I'll bugger off then, you moody git. Like, you want a cat to sort of doof their head on you and, you know, want to be stroked under the chin and that. Just run away. Pointless cat. Hamsters, also pointless.
Oh, no, they're cute. Hamsters are really cute.
Are they, though?
Yeah. Mine was.
Pointless, though, aren't they?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. She had personality, mine.
What was her name?
Hetty.
I don't know what I expected you to say.
The
hamster. Yeah, okay. Really? Okay.
They don't live long, do they?
No. A couple of years.
It was a good 2 years, though.
Oh, it was the best.
Best time of my life.
Yeah, we did. We had a good time.
Was there a Hetty too?
I had a ball for her, and she used to go in the ball and run all around the front room, and she used to just sit on my lap or on my hand for ages. Oh.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hetty, rest in peace.
Oh, that's harsh.
Harsh? What, rest in peace? For
Hamster?
Don't
want her crying.
No, that's what I'm hoping for one day.
Did you bury her in the garden?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And put a cross.
Not religious,
was it made out of lolly sticks?
Can't remember, actually. No. But I did put her in an ice cream tub with a little soft...
Did you eat the ice cream first?
Don't like ice cream, do I?
Did you?
What?
No, don't like
that ain't chocolate. Been said.
What?
That hasn't ever been said before.
Who don't like ice cream?
I mean, I couldn't say not no, liking not. Chocolate
pointless.
Ice cream or something.
Pointless, absolutely pointless. It's cold, it gives you brain freeze, it's chocolate, it's the worst. Now, I love chocolate, don't I? Absolutely love chocolate. But chocolate ice cream just tastes bitter and...
What is she talking about?
I can't stand it, I don't...
Ice cream's one of the greatest things. I mean, get one of them nice cones that's been dipped in chocolate.
Bob,
yes.
Remove her from the building.
Get out.
Yeah.
Then what about Cornetto?
What about Clippo type things? Like
ice lolly.
Oh, yeah, love lollies.
Well, that gives you brain freeze.
No,
well.
But I like that. So whenever we were kids or whatever, we always used to go, everyone used to get the ice cream. Mum would get me a lolly because I never eat ice cream. Don't like it.
Weirdo.
Do you like cream?
Oh, I love cream.
Do you like ice?
Cream. Well, I used to eat ice all the time, didn't I? And so Lewis bought me an ice machine for Christmas.
Well, Mr. Frosty?
I'd wake up in the night and just could not get back to sleep till I'd eaten some more ice.
You are mental.
I did find out I was totally anemic after, though, blood iron transfusion, so I never had ice since.
I
had a thing about ice,
didn't
you?
Crazy about ice, and used to have an original Lucozade slush puppy, and I used to just munch. Actually, when I was carrying you, I used to munch.
Well, you've done it recently as well, haven't you?
Yeah. I think
that's why I'm allergic to Lucozade.
Yeah, I did ask the doctors when I last went to the doctors. I said, "Why do I have this yearning for ice?" And he said, "It's a lack of minerals in your body, so your body craves it."
Oh, I used to crave it so bad.
That's why, because you were low on everything.
We went on holiday once, and we go over to the evening bit. So Chris went up and got drinks and that, and I said, "Oh, can you just see if they've got some ice?" And he said to the bloke down the bar, "Like, can I have a thing of ice?" So he bought it. I said, "Yeah, I'll bring it over." So he brought it over. I think he thought we had hidden drinks.
Yeah.
And so I said, "I'm really sorry. It's not for me. It's just I like eating it." And he just looked at me like I was the biggest weirdo.
Is that how we're looking at you?
I ate my way through the ice for the evening.
I ate my way through the ice. Lewis. That's the advert right there.
Ice baby.
Yeah, stop. Collaborate and listen. Well, I mean, we've established that who the weirdest one in the room is. Did you want another?
Well, let's just get one quick question out of the way first. And we've had Jane already, and I thought she put a question on Facebook as well.
Oh, go on in.
So,
Jane, that's a Jane from South Carolina.
Apparently, Jane's a bit of a techie, and she wants to know, what kind of equipment do you use to record your show? Pauline.
Well, we use this black thing. It looks like a box with buttons on it. Does that help, Jane?
Thanks for the question, Jane. We use a Rodecaster Pro. Which is amazing. Couldn't have done it without it. Three Samsung mics, Q2U, and one Audio Technica, which was our first buy when lockdown happened. We couldn't get hold of a fourth. So, that's it. It's all Rodecaster Pro, really.
It does the job.
Oh, and headphones as well. They are Avlink headphones. I did a little bit of research on that. So for the techies out there, that's what we use. Pretty easy stuff.
Okay, that was short and sweet.
It was. I downloaded it onto iMovie and then put it on Buzzsprout. I don't know if that's technical as well. But thank you very much for your question, Jane.
Right, do you want to...
Yeah, so I've got another testimonial from a listener, one of the regulars. I'll give you a little clue.
Who could that possibly be?
Trucker Andy. He is driving at the time he did this, so there is a little bit of background noise, but just enjoy.
Hello, Elimination Podcast family. It's everyone's favourite trucker, Trucker Andy here. Yes, my truck has its own sound effects. Brilliant, isn't it? I'm just leaving a quick message just to say congratulations on 100 episodes of the podcast. I actually stumbled across the podcast during season one. I think I was looking up Red Dwarf things, and one of your Red Dwarf verses came up, and ever since then I've been hooked. It's an absolutely brilliant concept, really, really funny. You spend about 5 minutes talking about the film versus film, and the rest of the time taking the mic out of Bob or Paulie. So yeah, very entertaining. No, really enjoy it, and it certainly helps time pass by whilst I'm driving miles and miles on the roads around the country. So yes, so congratulations on 100 episodes, and here's to the next 100.
Thank you very much, Andy.
He's got that right, and he's taking the piss out of me.
Yeah, that's our aim. Thank you, Andy, you absolute trucking legend. What a legend.
What a trucker.
What a trucker. Yeah, thank you for listening and being part of the Elimination family, as we said about Jay. Well, you got another question, don't
you? Yeah, this one's, what four famous people, in brackets, dead or alive, would you invite for dinner? Pauline.
Well, firstly, no taking the piss. So I'd have Princess Diana.
No taking the piss. You did hear, Andy.
Princess Diana.
Okay.
Wait, I'm waiting.
No, go on. Diana. I want to, because, yeah, you've set it up now. So,
yeah, so there's me.
Go on.
Sitting here. Princess Diana.
Right.
George Michael.
Right, okay, yeah, I'm with you.
David Attenborough.
Oh, hello.
I'd love to have dinner with him, yeah. And then this one that I don't want to say. Because I know you're just... But I've got to be true to myself and
yeah,
say
absolutely.
Who I want dinner with.
You weirdo.
Is it SpongeBob SquarePants?
So it is... Philip Schofield. Yeah.
Is that because you want to talk to him about Joseph?
Well, I've liked him, not like him as in, oh, I like him as in...
Explain to who he is, because people are, not in this country wouldn't know who he is.
Oh, he's a presenter now, but he used to do the Smash Hits concerts.
Yeah.
Like, he was Joseph. I've just grown up with him all through my life.
Yeah, he did the kids'
like
TV
really, yeah,
when he was younger, yeah.
Room Cupboard, Gordon the Gopher when I was a kid. And he just seems a really nice bloke that I would have a laugh with, like he mucks about with Holly Willoughby.
Yeah.
I'd imagine I could have a good laugh with him. And I'd just like to chat to him. And then Princess Diana, obviously, I just want to know everything.
She might be a bit heavy, though.
I think you know everything already.
Yeah, but I don't know, I just want to chat to her. David Attenborough must have so many stories.
I think he'd go on a little bit, though.
Oh, I wouldn't mind. I like his voice.
Like, David, can you let everyone else have a go, please? I want to listen to Diana's story. Come on.
Here, next to the potatoes, we have the scraps.
I love his voice so much. And then, obviously, it could not have George Michael there.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, but
apparently, George Michael is he did have a really big, good sense of humour. Because he did the Gavin and Stacey thing.
Yeah.
He was in Extras with waiting on the bench with Andy Millman. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, in Extras, that's really good. He goes to the park and his mate's sitting on a bench. And Andy sits down and he goes, oh, how are you doing? How are you? And George Michael comes over and he goes, oh, yeah, there's George Michael, yeah. And he's like, oh, my God, George Michael. He comes over and he goes, oh, yeah, this is the gay bench. Yeah, we just sit here and blokes come over and we just have a, you know, see if we want a little bit in the toilets or whatever. and then he hides in the bush and the press come and look for him and stuff. Yeah, he had a real good, he could laugh at himself. Because I remember the whole toilet thing with him, and then his next music video was the toilet, the disco light toilets
and the coppers and that.
He knew how to take them piss out of himself.
Did you ever consider replacing George Michael with Andrew Ridgeley?
Never. I don't even think about him.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
No.
He was a talented one, wasn't he?
He was 50% of Wham.
Yeah, but was he, though? I never really noticed him.
No. Ouch.
Apparently, he's unplug his guitar. Tired.
Yeah, they'd be my four. I know they're boring to everyone else, but to me, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Gordon, Kate, who's your four?
This is a young person's view. Oh. I'm interested there.
See, I don't know. Like, actually, don't Like, there's only two in my head that I actually would want to have a conversation with, or dinner or whatever.
Go on.
And that's Kurt Cobain and Tim Burton.
Wow, that's a heavy conversation, that, isn't it? Yeah. Kurt Cobain and... Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's a good two. If you're going to have two...
Yeah.
Jesus. Do you, are you a big fan of Burton's films then?
Yeah, of course. All of them. Love them.
What's your favourite?
Corpse's Bride, I think.
Oh, it's a great film, Corpse Bride.
Love it.
Yeah.
Wow. Lovely okay. Piece. Yeah. His Batman was good as well.
He does poems as well. Got a poem book that he did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a good fact.
Yeah, fun facts.
Fun facts, yeah.
So it's just free for dinner then?
Yeah.
Free. It would be very gothic. I'm imagining very dark.
Be a bit heavy.
Be a Halloween party maybe.
Who's going to be there to lighten the mood?
Yeah.
You will.
Yeah, me.
You should have invited the Corpse Bride and the Pumpkin King. The Pumpkin King, is that his name? The Pumpkin?
Jack.
Jack the Pump. What's his name? He's the Pumpkin King. Is
Jack Skellington, he's not the
Pumpkin King.
Oh, the
he is the Pumpkin King. You got a stutter there, don't you?
What's this? I always think of you when that film comes on, Kate.
Yeah, I saw a thing on Facebook the other day when somebody made it up, like, if Jack had skin. Have you seen that?
No.
Because he's a skeleton, and they put skin on him and make him look like a... It's weird looking, big eyes and that, he looks like a Disney kind of guy.
But, I love both of them films, but I think I prefer The Corpse Bride.
Yeah, me too.
Out of those films that are that kind of vein, I like Paranorman. You've seen that?
Yeah, that's about the dog, isn't it?
The dog?
No, that's the boy.
Paranorman. Oh, what's the one about the kid who can see the...
Oh, Frank and Weenie, yeah.
They're so clever, them films. Well, are you a big Nirvana fan then?
Yeah.
How was Nirvana sort of... Yeah, that's what I mean, because I was listening to Nirvana when I was your age.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. How does that...
I don't know. I don't know where it came from, to be honest. I don't know.
I wonder if he hadn't have killed himself or whatever happened, if they would have been as big as they were. Because they did change the music scene when they came along. But you never know when it carries on. They could have, I don't know. Mind you, Dave Grohl's doing all right, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, he's great, isn't he, old Dave Grohl?
He'd do anything, can't he?
Yeah. Great guitarist, great singer, great drummer. Great drummer, especially.
Yeah.
Well, right, what are yours, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got three and then I got loads I can pick from. So mine were Ricky Gervais, because he's my hero. He was always going to be there. Louis Theroux.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's... I thought, first of all, he'd be really serious, but then I've seen some clips of him sort of mucking about with mates and that, and he seems quite laugh. Bob Mortimer, classic.
Oh.
Classic Bob.
Oh.
Bob, Ricky Gervais.
Oh, I did.
Oh, no, he's coming to my party, wife.
No,
not yours.
No, he's coming to my
You can go to both.
Well, it's on the same night, though. He's already told me he's a bit busy. Yeah,
because he's going to wife's party instead of yours.
Ricky Gervais, Louis Theroux, Bob Mortimer. And then I started to think about, people like Steve Merchant and John Cleese. And maybe I'll go for Cleese.
John Cleese is a bit of a miserable bugger, though, isn't he?
Oh, but I bet he's got...
Especially now. Oh. You interview him.
I'll go Steve Merchant then.
Yeah.
Okay. that's my four. Who's up?
Jack.
Well, my first one's Bob Mortimer because I love him.
Well, he's my third.
I've always loved Bob Mortimer. There's something cute about him. And
He's like a hamster,
isn't
he?
He can come and live with me anytime he likes.
If you're out there, Bob, and listening...
Sorry, Dave. But yeah, I've always had a thing about Bob Mortimer. When I first saw him, I've always thought he was really cute. And I'm watching him on the fishing program with Paul Whitehouse is...
If you haven't seen it, it's really funny. It's a chilled out watch of one bloke who loves fishing, the other bloke who's just an idiot, really. Yeah. And he's just there to chat. And
he's a lovable idiot.
Yeah.
He cooks dinner.
Yeah. Bob Mortimer, Vic and Bob.
Oh, Vic Bob. And Bob, yeah.
Yeah, Bob.
I didn't know that was his surname.
Bob Mortimer,
I know
what
you mean now.
Have you told your dad about that fishing programme yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I'll tell
him.
Check it out at home as well if you're in the States and you don't know who Bob Mortimer is. Whitehouse and Mortimer go fishing, fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just two blokes going fishing. I'm not into fishing at all, and it's just two blokes. Because it was brought up with the idea that they both had sort of heart problems, didn't they?
Yeah, big heart problems.
Yeah, so they had operations and stuff, and then they just had to get away. And
I think Paul Whitehouse had his problem first. And when we found out about Bob being really seriously ill, he thought he needed to chill out a bit, and he thought fishing would do it for him. So that's what they do. They go fishing. Bob arranges where they're going to stay. Well, apparently so. But some of the places they stay are lovely out in the country.
Hidden gems, isn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the British.
Really unusual, some of them as well.
Yeah, check it out.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Love him. Hello, Bob. my second one would be Mick Hucknall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hello, yeah.
Because he's been with me many, many years, even though he doesn't realise it. I've loved him since my kids were little. I used to listen to him in the bath and they would turn the thing off.
Oh, yeah, let me tell this story, yeah. So Mum would sit in the bath, because back in the day we didn't have speakers, we didn't have iPods or anything like that. We had the tape player, which you had to plug in. So she plugged that in, put it right by the bathroom door, shut the door, lock it, so the tape player is outside, she's in the bath. So she's got no control over what goes on in there. Oh. So she'd be listening to Simply Red, which is chilled out and, you know, bath time and all that. And then one of us would come along and put like a drum and bass tape in there. Drum and bass, press play and just walk away. Hey, turn it off. Sound like Norman Wisdom, didn't it? That's Dave! Yeah. Oh, good times.
I used to get out of the bath, soaking wet, freezing cold, all wet, dripping all over the electrics. I mean, now I didn't have an electric shock, God knows. But anyway, Mick, thank you for them years.
Holding back.
I'm going to do that from now on.
But we had, I went to the 25th one and
of stars.
Of stars, yeah. And it was absolutely fantastic. But then a surprise was arranged for me that I didn't know about to go and see him in the box at, well, he wasn't in the box, I was in the box, at the O2 with Bob. But I thought I was going to see someone called Gavin James, who I thought I was just going along for the ride to.
I had a spare ticket and it was a kind of rib.
While we were waiting outside to go in, he made me read the ticket out, and then I realised that I was going to see Mick Hucknall, and I was nearly in tears with excitement. It was just, I've never been so happy.
And there is a video of it. Maybe I'll put that on the Facebook page. Yeah, it's a moment in time.
It was absolutely amazing. We had the most expensive popcorn you've ever had, about 20 quid for about 6 bits, but it was nice.
Like 8 quid for a bag of Maltesers.
and it was almost like he was there just for me.
He was. He was also there for me. So that's
he was there for me. He's such a nice man. He just looks like a nice man. I've read his
and he can sing as well.
I read his autobiography, and he was his first autobiography was quite. He was quite bossy and liked everything done exactly the way he wanted it done, and people didn't like him for that. But the music spoke for itself, and it's still being played now. So thank you, Mick. Right, my next one is Kathy Burke.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good.
If I ever have a story of
British
my life.
British comedy actress.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's as well lovely. As Bob Mormar.
If I ever had someone play the role of me in my life story, I would pick Kathy Burke, because she would make it bloody funny, because some of it's not been great, let's face it, but some of it's been really funny, and I think she could make anything funny.
Yeah.
There's a few things she's been in where she didn't quite hit the mark, but I love her, and everything she's on, she's just so down to earth, so ordinary, really. So I'd have her, because I think she'd be a good laugh at the meal. And my last one, I'm only picking this person because when Dave read out what the question was, I misread the question. I thought it was anybody. I didn't realise it was someone famous. So I had to cross out my dad, and it was the other one that I crossed out.
Can't read her own writing.
No, I can't. No, can't read the last one. I decided to put down Paul McCartney because it would really wind Dave up. And we could have a sing-song with Paul there. That's it. That's my fault.
Yeah. I did think, I bet Dave's got either all the Beatles.
Yeah. Go and get the guitar. Well, when I first did mine, I had Leonardo, Raphael, Michelangelo and Donatello, but I had to change it.
I couldn't have the four Beatles because I'd have to invite Yoko Ono, and I mean...
And that's a big Ono.
So I'd have to leave one Beatle out because she's so interesting, isn't she?
She's got a good singing voice as well.
Yeah. I've gone to... I could have had the four Beatles. I could have banged their heads together, couldn't I, and said, you know, what was that all about? You silly
Hey, yeah. Paul.
But I've gone down a different route. I've gone down... I'm going for Lee Harvey Oswald.
Who's that?
Oh, you don't know Lee Harvey Oswald?
No.
Assassinated JFK.
Apparently.
Allegedly.
I'd go for Stephen King.
He's a strange looking man.
I'd go for Alfred Hitchcock.
Blimey.
Oh, bloody
and my last one would be Jack the Ripper.
Whoa. So you know who he is.
Yeah. Because I thought the JFK thing's always fascinated me anyway. It's fascinated half the world, isn't it? But Stephen King wrote a novel about it, which was quite good, all about time travel, which is my go-to thing. And he must know a lot about it, so he could puzzle him all night, you know. Alfred Hitchcock done his Alfred Hitchcock prints, all about things about the macabre and murder and that, so he'd have to be interested. And then Jack the Ripper, we could just find out who he is and was he working for someone? Was it him on his own? Or was it Lee Harvey Oswald on his own? But was there someone on the grass, you know? I mean, it'd be an interesting evening.
Wow, you went around a completely different... Yeah. Yeah. Mind you, it's quite a smart one as well, isn't it? I think I'd be bored. I think I'd just be... Because I'll obviously be bringing the drinks and that in. He'd have me on the payroll, wouldn't he? So I'd just be like, oh, that's heavy conversation.
I'll be up on the field. I
just remember who the other one was. It was you.
It was me?
Yeah.
Oh!
So boring!
When she says you, that don't really work on podcasting. Bob.
Because I'd really like to have a conversation with my dad, but I also thought Bob would be good. I think he and Kathy Burt would have a right laugh.
I was going to say, you have dinner with him every night.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't look at him.
I'm not famous either, so.
Plus the fact, I wouldn't, if we were doing this dinner party, I wouldn't be doing the cooking. I'd be sitting eating.
Yeah.
So. Just for once.
You'd be in
nice
the toilet.
To be in the kitchen.
Oh, that's nice.
Very harsh. Very harsh.
Funny, though.
Right, that's interesting dinner parties to look forward to.
Wow, that's, that's an array of people, isn't it? Can you imagine the waiting room with all of them? Yeah. All of them in the waiting room, yeah.
Put them all together.
David Attenborough chatting to Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Jack. Oh, my name's actually Bob. Oh, okay. Hello, Bob. Bob the Ripper.
Same ring, is it?
No, not at all. Should we have another one, Dave?
Yeah, go on. Go for it.
Okay, let me just set this up while we get it going. So, here we go. Yep.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say well done on your 100th episode of Elimination. I absolutely love listening to them all. They are fun, witty, and sometimes just plain hilarious. Keep up the good work. I look forward to see what you've got planned for the future. You've kept me entertained whilst isolated during these hard times. Love to you all. Yvonne.
Hey!
Well done,
Auntie Yvonne. Yeah, your sister, Dave.
My sister.
Yeah, she's she listens to us just before she goes to bed.
She does.
Yeah. So get tucked up. Thank you, Eva. She finally sussed out how to send a voice recording. And we appreciate it. We really do.
That's good.
Yeah, like that.
Do you want another question?
A couple more of them to come. Yeah, go on.
Okay. Do you still eat food that is past its use-by date if it still smells and looks fine, Pauline?
Absolutely not. No.
What, all food? Anything.
Well, I say that.
Anything?
Am I allowed to include
anything
milk?
Will do. What?
Am I allowed to include milk? Because I have a cup of tea every single morning, and if the milk went out of date the day before, I will smell it, and if it smells all right, I'll have it for my tea that morning. But any food...
What about a pork chop a day out of date?
Absolutely not, no. Definitely not. Best before, I will and ah. You know when it's
best in the kitchen.
Then I'll look at it and suss it out. But I'll tell you what, it would be midnight on the day. That's it. No.
In the bin.
Yeah, I don't want food poisoning. I don't want... No, I just never have. Never will.
Oh, I wouldn't eat food poisoning that day.
What about you, Kate? Would it bother you?
Not really, no. Unless it's like a yoghurt or like... milk.
Something
that would smell funny. Yeah.
Supposing you bought a pre-done sandwich from a supermarket and you got home and it was yesterday's date on, would you bin it?
It depends.
Supposing it was a cheese and tomato sandwich.
No, I wouldn't do that, no.
No?
Wouldn't buy it.
You definitely wouldn't do a prawn one, would you?
No. Or tuna.
Or chicken. No.
Yeah.
What about you, what
Mother?
Well, I'll do a day after.
Will you?
Yeah, I do. Because most of these are a pack of lies, and it's a way of making you throw food away so that you will go out and buy more. That's what it's for.
Consumer rights.
So sometimes, yeah, you will open something that's way away from its date, you know, before, and you can open it. It smells funny. I won't eat it, even if it's still in date.
No, we've done that with packets of bacon and that, and she's, yeah. I've got a terrible sense of smell, so it's poor, it's asking me.
It hasn't got any
But
sense
yeah, I mean, if there's a couple of chops or something, or a, we'd eat it, wouldn't we?
Only a day, right. I won't go more than a day.
Because sometimes you buy something and it's, supposing it's the 8th and it's stated the 17th. I don't think they're that good at being that accurate. For the sake of 24 hours, I mean, milk, you can give it a sniff so you know one way or the other.
Yeah, I ruin with milk. Dad's terrible. When I'm down Dad's, he'll get something out of the fridge and say, like, it's out of date by 4 days. Because he was butcher, he'll look at it, smell it, nothing wrong with that, absolutely nothing wrong with that, and that's what he'll have. He's been doing that all his life.
Well, yeah. He seems to be all right on it, doesn't he?
How many times has he had an upset stomach? Not that many.
No.
Well, in touch Stop wood, we've never had any food poisoning by anything, have we, like that?
I've tried, but it doesn't work.
What are you, Robert?
Depends how hungry I am. Because if I'm going to the fridge and I think, oh, yeah, I'm going to have that thing, I'm going to have that, whatever it is, and I look at it and think, oh, it's out of date. And I don't think about the food being out of date. I think, oh, if nobody's around, I can eat this.
nobody's
going to judge me, yeah. And then later on when Dave says, you know that pack of ham was out of date? Oh, was it? I did not know that. Oh, my God, how did I not see the date on it? And I'll just go to town on it, yeah.
I mean, something like tomatoes, we've eaten them 2 weeks after,
haven't
we? You can tell, can't you? Yeah, you go just by your eyes and ears and nose.
You can't go by your nose because you can't smell anything.
True.
The gas could be on and you wouldn't smell it.
Now, what about this thing? I mean, when I was a kid, we used to have a bottle of old tomato sauce in the cupboard, not even in the fridge, in the cupboard. It'd been there for years, you know. Now, yeah. They've got these, like, mayonnaise and stuff. It's a jar of pickled onions used within 6 weeks after opening.
Yeah.
To me, that's rubbish.
I never remember the date I've opened it.
No. Well, I always write
when's this open? When's this been open?
If I open it, I always write a date on it.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Never thought of
doing. But if I open a jar of pickled onions,
I'm not going to eat a block of cheese if you've written on it.
No.
Jesus. Big marker pen on it.
If it's a jar, I will write on it with a indelible marker thing and just put on what date I've opened it on the lid. Or
good system. Good system.
Well, it works for me.
I mean, tomato sauce, brown sauce, pickled onions.
Branston pickle.
Yeah, Branston pickle. Yeah. I mean, they could stay open as long as they like, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't even think about that. Mind you, Lewis is so into bloody Branston pickle at the moment. I'm going through a jar of it in no time.
No, piccalilli.
Oh, he's not eating it.
Is it with the chunks or not?
Piccalilli.
Oh, he can care less. It's whatever I buy.
Wow.
Yeah. Cheese and pickle sandwich, ham and pickles, like, anything's got a pickle with it.
I'm a bit like whole grain mustard. At the moment. I have it on everything.
Yeah, but I had your dinner the other day. You had it on your dinner, didn't you?
Yeah. I can't help it. Don't know. Fizzes it up a little bit. Mind you, I did eat some mango the other day that was a couple of days out of date, and it did taste.
An edge.
It goes sort of fizzy.
Yeah, fizzy. Yeah, it was a bit fizzy. Yeah.
You know why? Starting to ferment. That's why.
Oh, maybe that's why I had the shits.
I once went away and
it did make this man go. Hey, a little joke there for man go. Pauline, you'll get it in a sec. Mango.
Rubbish.
Oh, okay.
I went away once and because I couldn't afford to.
Yeah, but you came back. That was a disappointing part.
I took some of Dave's homemade wine with me, just the one bottle. It was a training weekend with work and we went there and on the last night there was going to be a party. So we had the party, we got all the bottles out that we'd bought with us, had quite a few to drink, emptied the bottles and then went on to the rest of the party. The following morning, after being throwing up all night.
Oh, no.
And throwing up on the coach on the way home.
Yummy.
And, yeah, into a plastic bag sitting next to someone who I didn't even know. It was horrendous.
I don't think we've met. Covered in sick.
All the people that drank the wine because what I didn't realise when I picked it up as I was just walking out the door for this training weekend was that it wasn't ready and it was still fermenting. So it obviously was carrying on fermenting in our stomachs, and we all saw the chicken salad that we had for our dinner the night before. It was a really pleasant do.
It was lovely. Yeah. I shall never forget that journey
home on the coach. I'll never forget the longest time I've ever sat on a coach.
Coaches are horrible when you're drunk.
With a warm plastic bag of sick on your lap.
That weren't even the one she was been singing.
No, he came to pick me up from wherever it was. Vomit water balloon. And I just, because I was completely out of it by then, because I just couldn't cope anymore.
She was like a costume of a woman.
And I was like, sat in the car. He said, oh, it was the weekend. Yeah, it was absolutely fine. What's in the bag? It's my sick. Yeah, so we had to find somewhere to dump that one. Sorry, Kate. Sorry. But
we've all been there, Kate. Yeah. We've all been there.
Don't ever drink wine that's not fully ready.
No, I won't.
I just hope they never get rid of plastic bags.
Well, it did have holes in the bottom.
It did.
I discovered afterwards, yeah, because it was all down my legs.
It gets worse. It gets worse. That was a great time.
Yeah, I never did that again.
Being sick out your nose ain't good, is it? Oh, man.
Being sick and... No, I'm not going
to... No, don't do it. Anyway, Dave, we've done the sick before.
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't here.
Yeah, special treat now.
Oh, go on.
Because before we came up, you didn't know it, but Kate asked if she could sing us a little song.
No, that's brilliant, Kate. Oh, that's amazing. No. Is it the national anthem?
No, not doing it.
No?
Oh, she changed her mind.
Oh, I thought it was going to be...
Stage fright.
I thought it was going to be elimination like rap, because you're so young.
Yeah, hip.
She's dancing. She did a little dance there. That was, I wouldn't call it a dance.
That's about as far as it goes.
Oh, was that a lie then, Dave?
Yeah.
I thought she was going to, God save us. We're all going to stand.
Right, let's whiz round the table with this one.
Oh, whiz round the table.
What was your first job, Robert?
Mine's quite interesting, actually.
Oh, God.
I worked for the DFEE, Department for Education and Employment, as a messenger.
Ooh.
So I was making teas and coffees for ministers. And I burnt David Blunkett.
Government ministers.
And I burnt David Blunkett. Yeah.
Ooh.
Little fact for you there. David Blunkett is a blind minister, Secretary of State. I didn't realise at the time that you had to go in and take him a mug of tea. And because he's blind, he puts his hand on the table and you put the handle of the mug against his hand so he knows where it is. I didn't know that. Pushed a cup up against him.
How could you know that?
How could I have known that? Weren't told. Pushed a cup up against him, burnt him. You know. Yeah.
Did you get the sack?
No. He actually was really nice. He had a little chat with me. He had his dog, his like guide dog, Lucy. It was quite nice. It's quite intimidating at times when you go in this big boardroom and there's like 30 people sitting around and you recognise some of them. Like Trevor Brooking was there, Tony Robinson was there,
Jeremy Paxman.
Paxman was there.
You got his autograph, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
I still got it.
It was my first job out of school, so I was like 16, 17, yeah. I didn't really know all these people like Tessa Jowell and Baroness Blackstone and people like this and names I didn't really know then, but now they sort of stuck in my head. But when the House of Commons was running late and they were going to come back to their office, we had to stay late. And I worked there from the window. You could see the London Eye being put together and put up. That's how long ago it was. We saw they floated them down the river, didn't they, and put it on. But Jeremy Paxman, he was in the waiting room. And they said, oh, Jeremy Paxman's down there. And I didn't know the name. I didn't know who he was. They said, go down and ask him what he'd like.
He's a political commentator, isn't he?
Yeah.
Interviewer.
He did University Challenge.
Oh, yeah, he did.
So I went down and asked him. And as soon as I saw his face, I realised who he was. He was on University Challenge. I thought, my dad watches all the time. This guy's right in front of me. And I was like, do you want to call it? And he said, told me what I wanted. And I went back to the little room where the kitchen was. I said, oh, it's Jeremy Paxman. I said, yeah, we said that to you. I was like, no, but it's the bloke from... It's the bloke from... Yeah, I was like, I think I'm going to ask... Oh, no, that's not a done thing here. You can't ask him for... This is an office. It's professional. You can't ask him. And I was like, fuck that. So I took a little napkin down there and I said, I'm really sorry. I took him his tea. I said, sorry, Mr. Paxman, can I just get your autograph? I said, my dad watches your show all the time. He gets questions right and all that. And he did. He signed it and you kept it for ages, didn't you?
Yeah. You told me at the time, you said to him... My dad could beat
My dad says he could beat all your teams, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wrote on a thing to David with great expectations, Jeremy Paxman.
Oh, yeah.
I still got it.
Have you?
Yeah, I didn't work it. I framed it and put it up in work. And when I retired, I brought it home.
Blimey. Okay.
There you go.
All in. Little fact.
Oh, I do have to go after that.
That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good.
Mine's
good,
really bad.
Good job out of
mine was my weekend job in Woolworths when I was 15.
Woolworths.
Oh, I loved it on the record counter. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Well, because I was on the music counter most of the time.
Can you let everyone know what Woolworths was, what they sold?
It sold everything.
Yeah.
Especially the sweets.
The pick and mix. Yeah, classic.
Yeah, it sold everything.
It sold books, stationery, the lot. Yeah, I mean, there was a post office in most of them. Oh, yeah.
It started off as my Christmas job. I went there, like, Christmas temp, and then they called me around about Easter time saying, can you come back? And then it became my weekend job. And after school sometimes, so I'd finish school, run down to, like, the town with my uniform in my bag, get changed, then go on the record counter. And I used to think I was really something.
Yeah.
Record counter, you know, it just with all the music blaring out and you'd have a laugh on the till and...
You do though, didn't you, at that age?
Yeah, when you're getting paid. My mates didn't have weekend jobs or Saturday jobs. I was the only one.
I was the same, yeah. I mean, when they gave me my clip-on tie, I thought I was the man. Like, I just thought I did. Like, I'd never seen a clip-on tie. I'd been wearing a proper tie in school. Oh, clip-on. Look, got a clip-on tie, look. I just thought I was the man, It's crazy.
So that was mine. Not exciting like Bob's.
Woolworths isn't around anymore as well, so that, mate, it's quite a good memory.
So, Kate, have you had a first job yet?
No, I haven't, other than working with Dad. No, I haven't had a...
What do you want to do, like, job-wise?
I don't really mind, to be honest. I'll do anything, like, for a first job. I'm not picky.
Well...
Retail, waitressing...
Well, if you're out there, anybody got a job going, Katie Rivett.
She's enthusiastic. We love her.
I know. It seems too much now. She's a bit lazy. She don't like early mornings.
would you consider hairdressing?
No.
You have to be trained at that, though, don't you?
Well, she's only 16.
I know, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
I can't just walk into a hairdresser's.
I did just say that,
I'll
be a hairdresser. Sorry, I'll ask the question again. Have you ever fancy walking into a hairdresser's and just being a hairdresser?
No.
What's your passion? What's your hobby? What do you like to do?
I'm going to go to college and do motion graphics and animation.
Oh, so, like Tim Robbins? No, what's his name?
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, that's it. I know it's Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, something like that would be pretty cool to do as a job.
So what you really want is a job where you could get in at the bottom level of that and sort of learn the ropes, use it as experience, pass every exam known to man, and then open up your own company with loads of money.
Watch this space.
Yeah. Watch this space,
Absolutely.
I'll write the scripts, you animate them.
You have it, son, I'll play it.
They'll be playing this back and saying, this was before she made it.
Yeah.
This is what she was like. Now look at her, she's a powerhouse.
Okay, wife, what was your first job?
Well, I'm going two ways here because...
This was 1934, was it?
22. My first job was Saturday job.
On Saturday?
Didn't you drive an ambulance during the war?
No, I didn't.
She just had her head out the window.
That was my mum. She drove an ambulance. What was I saying? My first job was a Saturday job and I walked into a hairdresser's, strangely enough, and said, have you got any jobs? And they said, yeah, we're looking for a Saturday girl, 75p a day. And I took it.
What, actually cutting hair or sweeping up?
No, sweeping up, making the tea, doing the shampooing, that sort of thing. It's the only job I ever worked at where I got the sack.
Oh.
What did you do?
They
used to have what they called the Blue Rinse Brigade, which is sort of older ladies, and they always had the same hairdo. They had like a perm that was either tinged in pink or tinged in blue. Not like it is now, but it was like a statement. Dave will remember this.
Blue Rinse Brigade.
Yeah.
And some of them had pink. Anyway, so the Blue Rinse Brigade would come in. They'd have their perm all done. And then they said to me one day, would you do us a favour and just turn at the back of the neck? There used to be like a fringe that wasn't curled like all the rest of it. And they would say, can you turn that under with the tongs? So I turned it under with the tongs. I've never used a pair of tongs in my life before. And they burnt her neck. And they sacked me on the spot. And so I had to got my coat and got everything. They gave me my 75p and I walked out. I left. So that was my
first... You didn't walk out, you were chucked out.
I was chucked out, all right.
In the gutter.
And this place was called Vogue, and it was in Woolwich, in Power Street, by the market.
Is it still there?
South East London.
I don't know, you used to go through the door and upstairs, and it was...
Is it still there?
It's above a jeweller's. No, but
wife, you burnt it down.
Arsonist.
She wasn't very happy, this elderly lady. I can understand why.
But if you'd never used them before,
I never used them, but some silly moo said, go on, just... turn it under. I didn't
but,
know what
but you know, the benefit is she's dead now. Yeah, so,
probably,
you know.
Yeah, she's never forgotten it, though.
she's got the scar. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I think she probably would have, because they were like all metal. It was like a metal tube with a flap. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. They look similar now.
And it had a black handle. So you pressed the thing and the flap came up. You stuck the fringe underneath and you let it go. But obviously I put it up against her neck.
Oh, I bet it did hurt.
She probably had blisters. She probably didn't have to pay for that.
Can anybody smell bacon?
Burnt flesh.
So, as I say, that was the very first job that I ever had, and it's the only job I've ever in my lifetime been sacked from, and I've never forgotten.
How long was you there for?
5 minutes.
I was there for a fair few weeks.
And was you gutted to lose a job, or was you not bothered?
Well, when you think about 75p now, and it was a lot of money then. Yeah. But 75p now is nothing, is it? But no. That would buy me a top and a skirt.
Yeah. There you go.
And my second job was my...
Whoa, we're going for a whole CV?
It was a Saturday job and that was it, just Saturdays. But my first full-time job, I was called a Girl Friday.
Oh. Prostitute.
No, I worked every night. No, it was another word for an administrator. But back then, everybody who did everything was called a Girl Friday. So,
like a dog's body.
Yeah, it was a dog's body.
A donkey.
I worked in a beautiful building up in London. Dave's been there. We met when I was, still working there. And I learned how to use a doll's eye switchboard and I loved it. I was the Xerox queen because I had a great big chunking thing that I could use and I loved it. I could strip it down and put it back together in minutes. I used to do the afternoon tea for the manager, for the bloke that ran it. He was a nice man, Mr. Regan. At the Architectural Press. It probably doesn't exist anymore, but there were some very nice people there. And apart from the woman that was my boss, her name was Joy, but she had no joy in her.
Aptly named.
Aptly named she was. But I loved working in the building. And I can't remember what I got paid for that one, strangely enough. But Dave used to come and look at me. He used to come and talk to me through the window when I was covering the switchboard at lunchtime, didn't you?
Yeah, we just got a two chairman pub, didn't we? Was it a two chairman?
Yeah.
Those were days. Memory lane, eh? Well, that's enough. That was a bit boring, but let's carry on.
Sorry, we ain't got time for my one now. Well, my first job was August the 3rd, 1970.
What?
I just think that was the day.
LEP Insurance Limited, LEP Insurance Limited. It was 49 to 50 Hatton Garden, London.
What?
Theba House, it was called. And
you know, it's the bloke that interviewed you.
Yeah. I barely remember.
Actually, his name was John Wood, and I had a mate called John Wood, which is always a coincidence.
I was joking.
But it was it was the most boring job in the history of the world. Whether I would have had a great career in insurance if I'd stayed there, I don't know. But It was one of them jobs. I don't know if anyone's ever seen these old British films from the 50s where everyone's in dark suits and they get the row of typists all sitting there not talking. And we weren't allowed, when we were at 9 o'clock, you were told what you had to do. And then no one spoke unless they were talking about work until tea break about 11. And then nobody spoke after that until 1.
I'm imagining like that scene in Incredibles where he's in that booth. It's just like silence on the.
It was. I mean, you see these old British films from the 50s, and I was 16. I was bored out of my brain. I remember I used to have to do a bit of Xeroxing, and the Xerox machine was by the window. And I remember I used to look out the window while it was just going along, and there was these people free walking along outside the window, and I thought, God, oh, I wish I was one.
Was she wearing an orange jumpsuit, though?
And I remember when we used to finish at five, and the clock used to, at a time, got to half four. It was like it had to go uphill, the clock, and it went on forever and ever and ever. And in the end, I just couldn't bear it anymore. So on the 16th of October, I left, never to return. It was the world's most boring job. It's interesting how where I could have gone or would have gone if I'd stuck it out. I always remember there was a bloke called Dave Smith who was like the
probably would have thrown himself out the window.
Yeah, he was like the young chap before I arrived, the school leaver before I arrived, and he was showing me how to do the job, but he'd moved up the rung and he was thrilled, like, you know. Of course, when I left, he had to come down again. So he weren't happy with me, but then that was it. Anyway, that was my first job.
There you go, a little insight. Katie, good luck on your job search.
Thank you.
I hope it
don't
works
go into
well.
Insurance.
Yeah. If you're interested in stop motion, check out Roberts Wrestling Federation on Facebook. There are a few videos on there of my opening gambit to stop motion.
Yeah. Sado.
That's my mother, everyone.
Thank you. Right, another question coming up right now. Do you think aliens exist? Pauline, where are you going?
Go.
No, absolutely not. What a load of rubbish.
Whatever.
Ever.
In the whole universe. In the whole universe.
I believe.
Oh,
I believe I can fly.
In the whole universe, I do believe there's another planet with people like us on it. And getting on with their lives.
So aliens do exist?
No, the aliens... I don't believe in... When I think alien, I think of little green things on a...
like E.T.?
Ship.
Like little Martians.
Yeah, people come down and say the aliens come and got me in the night.
Probe.
I don't believe there's these little... No, don't believe in aliens.
Oh, you see the lies.
What about you, Kate? Do you think the aliens exist?
I believe there's something out there somewhere. I like, because... We can't be the only living thing in the universe.
Why?
Why not?
It's just that sounds more crazy than aliens.
Right? No, I get that.
Well, the fact that we're all alone on this rock with other rocks, without other little things on those other rocks.
That's a fair point. I mean, when you do see I don't think in my tiny head that I can actually understand how big a planet is or how far this thing goes, or when people go up to space.
Infinite.
But yeah, but you see these people go up to space, like Richard Branson's just done that thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was he in space? He didn't look very space to me, what they showed.
What did you want, an alien?
It still looked daylight outside when I saw it. Anyway, go on.
Looked that day, they just ripped around the block, didn't they? But yeah, I mean, I don't think in my head I can sort of imagine what that is like, or... I don't know. I don't think so myself. I just think it's us. We got lucky. Evolution kicked in. Here we are.
But did we get lucky?
But we are the lucky ones. When you think about how it works, how a human is made.
Yeah, sometimes you wish it just hadn't happened.
Oh, just top yourself. Jesus.
Oh, no, not like that. But
what are the odds that...
And then you go through shit and then you have the odd a few happy times and then you peg it.
I agree.
Why bother?
Yeah, what's it all for?
Well, maybe this isn't the real world. Maybe we're just waiting for Morpheus to come and get
maybe
us.
Maybe we're in heaven now.
No, this is hell. I think when you die, you do go to a better...
I wonder what these horns are for.
No, this is the shit, and when you die, that's when you...
all good people.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but what's the line?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you got Ted Bundy, you know, somebody who thinks that he's doing good, you know, doing bad things. What is good? What's
not necessarily good, but...
Somebody who pays their bills. What's bills going to mean in heaven?
No, I just think that... Life is
the name of the game.
Is the crappy part that they say hell, don't they? But like, if you die, you go to hell. But I think this is the hell bit.
So you're
you lose people you love, and then
so you're thinking about Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, but you get 50 years with the people you love as well.
Yeah,
you don't always.
No, that's gone in the blink of an eye, though, isn't it? Really.
Cool, you're not easy satisfied, are you?
What do you want from me?
And then I think,
oh God, can you imagine having Michael as a brother forever? I mean, I love him, Kate, to his face. Yeah, I'm a no.
What about you? I think so. Aliens exist.
No, I don't think so. I'd like to think they do. I'd like to meet a little wobbly man at some point.
Well, you married one.
Yeah.
Hey!
No, I said little.
Oh, you missed it.
Yeah, I was on the wrong. Yeah, I know. Sorry, sorry. Timing. Comedy gold. Comedy bronze.
Yeah. No, I think that we are the only things. I do, because I think we would have heard something by now, what they've shoved up there, and someone would be coming down saying, look, don't ruin our planet because you've ruined your own. So
I always remember the what you say, Dave, about ghosts. Like, why is it always secretive? Why is it always, oh, just saw something there. Oh, there's something. Your line is...
Why is it 3 o'clock in the morning, in the night, when you're in a house on your own? Why on cup final day or Super Bowl day don't you get some Super Bowl American footballers come on? Why has it always got to be when there's only one person there at 3 o'clock in the morning? I mean, why aren't the old footballers of the 1920s running
and
out?
And I think
as well?
The alien, I feel the same way about aliens. I think we'd know by now. Yeah. The technology that we've got, I mean, and it wouldn't be some redneck in America going, ah! Saw this clad all by the barn. You know, it'd be definitive. It'd be, oh my God, that is what we've been waiting for, you know.
Yeah.
And if there was an alien, I'd hope that they'd be like Paul.
I hope they're way behind on technology than us, not miles in front of us.
Yeah, they would be, they
if they're miles in front of us, if they're 500 years in front of us, we've had it, haven't we?
Yeah.
But we're 500 years in front of them, they've had it.
They ain't even got Google.
Yeah.
Google. You saved their lives.
Yeah, we want to discover another planet, and they've just discovered the wheel. Then we can totally dominate them like we totally dominate.
So do you ever think that we're going to get to Star Trek state?
Oh, I think we will, yeah. I mean,
not in our lifetime, obviously.
Yeah, that's what Branson's
going. Hang on a minute, 120 years ago, we didn't have cars. I mean, look where we are now.
Too many bloody cars on the road.
50 years ago, we had an abacus. Now look at all our iPods and stuff. I mean, phones.
iPods are out of date nowadays.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So in 100 years, 200 years' time, if we're still here, if man is still alive, Sacred Heavens, 1969.
Oh my God.
But if... yeah, if man is still alive, I mean, where are we going to be? You can't even imagine it.
Yeah, well, I don't want to imagine it. I think I'd be glad not to be here by that time. It'll have all got so techy, I would just look like a...
I don't think an alien spaceship as such has ever come into our skies. Because I think, what is the point of them coming all this way and then not landing in Trafalgar Square or Times Square? Saying here we are,
but we have seen a lot of hubcaps,
or just blowing us up. I mean, getting rid of us, or coming down here and enslaving us, or whatever.
COVID.
We're
in the twilight.
But in the whole universe, which is vast, you can't even imagine how vast it is. Surely there's another, like Kate says, another rock out there that's got some sort of life. I would have thought.
What, just insect?
Like? But who knows?
Oh, it could be.
That's an alien
plant. That'd be a big story, wouldn't it, if they did come and land?
But no, half the world wouldn't believe it.
Well, it would if they landed in Trafalgar Square.
Yeah, they'd say, oh, David Copperfield's at it again.
Oh, the old green screen's been out. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Thank you, Dave, for that question. That was a good question, actually. I enjoyed that. I'm going to play another testimonial.
No, you do it. You go ahead.
Yeah, is that all right? Here we go.
Elimination Podcast family, it's congratulations on your 100th episode. It's to Dave, Mike, Bob, Pauline, and Wifey. What a tremendous landmark to do 100 episodes. Guys, congratulations on your 100th episode. And keep on keeping on. You have a tremendous and a tremendously unique show and super creative. So, Elimination Podcast family, I'm sorry. You got it. All the best. Keep on keeping on. All blessings to you, and have a great time. Cherish the moment, if that's not too cliched to say, but it's true. All the best. And I give you total respect and admiration. Keep on keeping on. So much more success to you. All right. And John would love your podcast, love the show, believe me. Alrighty.
And there we go. That was Mike Starr from Dumb and Dumber, Goodfellas, and Uncle Buck. And he said at the end there, because I also put on there, what was John Candy like? And there is a full video where he talks about John Candy and what John Candy, working with John Candy was like, which I will put on our Facebook page. But that at the end there, John would like your... that's our link to John Candy, of all people. So that
was great, wasn't he, John Candy?
Oh, he was. Yeah, yeah.
Uncle Buck.
Yeah, he's a great performer. Thank you, Mike Starr. That was amazing. Thank you so much being part of the Elimination family.
Thank you.
Another question, Robert?
Another question, Dave. Go.
Right. If you had to live in another country, what country would you choose?
Who are we going to? Kate?
Let's go, Kate.
I would go to Canada because I like the snow and stuff. Canada's nice.
Is Canada cold all the time?
Not all the time, but it gets really snowy.
But they do have a lot of snow and polar bears.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do they?
Yeah, sure, Canada has polar bears.
Oh, see, now you're saying I'm sure, so it makes me think that you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm not. Polar bears are in Canada, I'm sure of it.
I swear they've got grizzly bears.
I bet everyone in Canada's going, what a numpty, yeah. Polar bears here in Canada.
Yeah, this ain't lost, Dave.
No, it must have, surely. Yeah, of course it does.
Maybe. Have you been there, Kate?
No, never.
And you?
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, but you've been to France. You wouldn't want to live there. It was all right for a visit, but
yeah, it's got nice architecture and stuff. But I don't know. I don't know.
Canada and the snow. Yeah.
There you go, mother.
Mm-hmm. Me, Greece, all the way. Greek food, Greek lifestyle.
You wouldn't get any work done, though, would you?
No, I'd be sitting on my bum.
No, not you personally. You want any building work done?
No. But you take your time because they're not in a hurry. You just, nothing gets done in a rush. You just eat, rest, lovely. Obviously, there's lots of people working in Greece.
Is this mainland Greece or an island?
Oh, not mainland, no. I'd definitely go for an island. It'd have to be...
Magaluf.
Corfu-ish, because we know there's lots of places in Corfu. Thassos is beautiful as well. But, I love it. The place, as soon as you put your feet on the floor, when you get off that plane, you go, it's just fab, love it. Yes, please. Anybody wants me to
get it off your chest, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
What about you, Pauline?
Mine would be America.
What, the United States of America?
Which bit?
South Carolina.
New York.
I loved New York, but I think...
It's a wonderful town.
I think Florida. Always sunny, always nice and warm. I know they get bad weather, and I'd have to come home when there's hurricane season.
Yeah.
I'd have to come back here. But it just seems the houses just seem so... nice, and they've all got pools, and it seems so relaxed, and the roads are really wide, so I won't be scared about driving because I like a nice.
Oh, I don't do country lanes.
And
yeah.
The people just seem so much friendlier, and the grass is so green and thick, the carpet in it, and I just think, I just like to be here all the time.
Is that just tourists, Florida? Though, have you experience of?
I've only been
normal Florida, where the Floridians live.
No, I've only been two places. One began with D and I couldn't remember that. And the other one was Kissimmee.
Delaware.
What did Delaware?
So I think that's a touristy place. But I just...
Do you know what Delaware did wear?
No.
I think it's a brand new jumper.
No, Jersey.
Brand new jumper. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Pauline. I think you were talking.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go on.
I'm done. That's it. So I think... But I loved New York. But I think...
Hey, I'm walking here.
I love it, but I think living constantly, it would be Florida.
Do they have smoke coming out of drains?
In New York, yes.
Do they?
Yes, I couldn't believe it. You don't believe that's real, but it does all the time, coming right out. I took photos.
Why?
I don't know.
Is it for show? Somebody goes around and just replaces the flares.
Yeah. Don't know. Is it to do with the... I thought it might be something to do with the subway.
I thought it was something to do with the turtles.
Oh, my God. that's me though, Florida.
How about you, Robert?
Well, I've been to Paris and absolutely loved it. It felt like when I was in Paris that I was on a river cruise. And it felt like they were like radioing ahead. Okay, can the guy with the baguette in his bag just ride his bike? Can the couple on the bench just kiss? They're coming past now. It just seemed like everything was sort of
perfect.
Staged. Yeah. And I was walking along the Champs-Élysées on the about 11 o'clock, and families were still out, eating their dinners.
Still out playing?
I was going to say playing. Out eating their dinners, and it's an absolutely beautiful place. I mean, I've been to Normandy, I've been to other places, but Paris just, I don't know.
We've been to France, and it's a beautiful country, but it's a downside.
I know what you're going to say.
It's full of French people.
Oh, what's wrong with French people?
They don't like us, you know.
They don't like it when you go hum, 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 hum. They don't like that, I've established. But the first time I went there, they'd won the 98 World Cup, and I went there in about 2000 or 2002, and I had a Zidane shirt. And I don't know what it is, but out there you don't see football shirts. Nobody wears them. It just doesn't happen unless there's a football event on. So I was walking around in this Zidane shirt thinking, I was like, it's like being in New York and having a High Heart New York t-shirt on. But I went into this restaurant, quite a posh restaurant, and outside it looks like, oh, we'll just take a seat outside. And they took us in. It was like this big ball hall, like with a big glass ceiling, and it was really posh. And as I walked through, everyone's going, Zizou, Zizou, Zidane, Zidane, Zidane. And like, it's like a celebrity or something, because people just don't wear football shirts. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And me and my fiance went back recently, stayed in the Rochester, just by the Champs-Élysées, and we had a great time, top of the Arc de Triomphe, and we got in one of them bikes that they take you back to your hotel. It was wonderful. And when COVID finishes, we're definitely going to go back there.
You liked it that much? You'd live there?
I could live in Paris, yeah, because it doesn't have that London, what you've said about New York, like bustling. It doesn't have that. It is like it's
more laid back.
Yeah, it's like if 10 is rush hour on the tube in London, it was about 3.5, you know. But it was never crowded, and you go to that big roundabout where the Arc de Triomphe is, and it's just insane, and it's just crazy, and I just loved it. I like the idea of being sort of an actor writer and being in Paris, and I don't know, it's just all those kind of romantic things. I also wrote down the Netherlands, Holland, because I've got a bit of a thing about that.
Orange.
Yeah, Orange, but Holland. But I've never been there, so I don't know what it's like, if it's any good or...
It's flat.
I've got two, but I've never been to either of them. And I considered France, but the downside is they just don't like us. I mean, there's no two ways about it. But so I was thinking popping next door to Belgium. what I've seen about that on TV, it does look a really nice, clean country. And I don't think they've got the we don't like Brits thing that the French have. So I consider Belgium, but I'd also consider Southern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, because it's close. And it's
not too close.
And you're talking about laid back. They know how to be laid back, the Irish. So I think I'll go for Belgium or Australia. Sounds great, but they've got too many monsters down there.
Everything kills you, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So that was if you could get rid of every creepy crawly and that poisonous snake, that'd be definitely considered. But I'll go Belgium or Southern Ireland. Wifey.
But I've got to say that we had we went to France years ago,
to Normandy,
and we had a fantastic stay there. And you always say, Dave always says, it's like you go to bed and you get up in the morning to go and drive somewhere, and it's like they've painted all the lines on the road because they're all clean, and there's nothing else on the roads.
Yeah, but it's the same population, four times bigger country, so. But they do have, they did. We went there in 2000, and we did get caught up in traffic sometimes, didn't we?
And the food, oh my God, the food's fantastic.
Oh, when we went to Paris, we got there, we was like, okay, save ourselves for this cruise that we was going on down the river, and but we couldn't. We saw other people eating and saw what they was eating. And thought, oh my god! So we had two dinners in about 5 hours. It was it was so nice though, man. It was amazing. Definitely want to go back.
Well, we got one from Lewis now.
Oh, a question from
Paul in San Lewis.
Here we go. Do you know about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm right.
If you could be the best in the world at anything, what would it be? Pauline.
Singing.
Whoa! That hurt my ears.
You're quite good, aren't you?
Jackie! That's my
I always think, like people say, dance like nobody's watching. I think sing like nobody can hear you. That's,
I do, though, don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. When you're at home doing the cleaning
Andy
or whatever.
Last Sunday I was singing.
What was she singing?
Dave put on the different songs.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I love to sing. I think that's where my love for theatre is, because my dream is to be the lead act on the stage who belts out the big number.
To an empty theatre?
No.
that makes everyone cry.
People are crying with emotion of how good it is, and then when I've finished with the big band, everyone stands up. Cheers, wants me to come back on for doing
it. What are you singing in this scenario?
Oh, anything. I don't care.
No, we need a song.
I don't know. It's got to be a big ballad, isn't it? A big.
Well, like
what about a Titanic theme?
No.
Oh.
What about a Bonnie?
About Nissan Dormer?
No.
Oh, come on.
Laurie Gregory Ann.
If this scenario is going to happen, we need to pitch you on stage singing something. What's the stage show? Who are you playing? Come on, Pauline.
You didn't ask me none of this.
You haven't thought this through. No, you have not thought
about Up Where We Belong.
No, what about the woman with all the hair? Bonnie, not Tyler. Yeah.
Bonnie, not Tyler.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
I really need you tonight.
Yeah, or a Whitney Houston one.
Oh.
Yeah, One Moment in Time, Whitney Houston. Give me one moment in time.
Cut, cut.
That was my chance.
Andy, if you're driving, just pull over. Yeah, your ears are bleeding.
Your windscreen's just smashed.
Imagine that, me standing there singing this, the big build up, the band's playing.
Did you ever try it?
I've always sung on my love. My mum used to say to me, "Who do you think you are, Julie Andrews?" When I'd be in my bedroom just singing at the top
spinning
of my
round in the corner.
But yeah, that's why I love theatre. I love it. Makes it can make me cry. A theatre can make me cry, or you know, when you get all goose pimples, because I just would love to be able to do that. I'd love that.
Wow.
More than anything, either that or play the saxophone.
There's only one thing you can play on the saxophone, isn't there? I mean, there's just one. Do, 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 do. That's all you need to know. Learn that.
No,
you're done.
Sorted. George Michael.
How's that go?
There's something wrong with the hands.
How's that go?
I'm not singing it. But it does happen to be. I'm the worst singer in the world. I'm totally.
You're completely the opposite. Yeah, yeah. Have you ever done karaoke? Like, on your own? On your own.
What, by myself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On your own by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your go-to song?
My Way.
Oh, right. Yeah, you did mention that before.
Yeah, I like My Way.
Yeah, you did it very well. Very well.
Oh, there you go. Kate?
What was the question?
That's the youth of today. Never listening. Never taking it in.
Kate must pay more attention.
Oh, drawing. Yeah, I'd want to be the best in the world at that.
What, artist?
Yeah.
Not painter, drawer. Like comics or
all of it.
Yeah. I'm not fussy.
Comics, movies.
But you're quite a good artist.
Yeah, but I want to be the best.
So. Well, you still can. You still
are.
Revealed. Kate, you reveal is Banksy. But there's still time, Kate. You can be.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Yeah.
That would be my one as well.
What, drawer?
Yeah. Because if you do any sport thing, you're finished time you're 35 anyway, so it's just a waste of time. Unless you're a darts player or something like that. But I'm absolutely hopeless at drawing or anything to do with art, and I think that's what I'd choose. Because even when you play the guitar or piano, you're on your own, you don't really get the benefit, do you? But you could just do that any time you want. I think it'd be great. and as Kate said, cartoons, art with, you know, oils and that, and or just sketching. People don't realise how lucky they are, people who can do that. I think so anyway. What have you?
I'd like to be the bestest cook in the world. And I don't mean poncy food.
Yeah, I wish that as well.
Well, you are with mint.
My own cookbook on mint. I mean, like, your standard stuff. But everybody loves it. That's what I'd like to be. That in, not this silly stuff when you go to a restaurant and you get half a grain of rice with a, with a bit of silver.
Half a grape.
You know, and that sort of stuff. To me, that's not food food. I'd like to be able to cook proper, wholesome, really tasty food that everybody would say, let's go around Jack's.
She's but you do.
Yeah,
right?
No, my no, dinner no. was well nice the other day.
Yeah, I cooked it.
No, but it's not special, is it? It's
well,
not,
I enjoyed it.
It's not, I don't know. I thought for a long time about, well, as soon as I was told about the questions, I thought for a long time about what I do, and I thought I'd love to be a complete IT geek and know everything about IT. But then I think about the people I know that know IT, and most of them are really boring, yeah. And they haven't got much of a personality.
And they're always called on as well.
They're called
oh,
on.
Oh, my laptop's not that. Yeah, oh, can you have a look at this game? Yeah,
even it's if like they're if you're working.
It's like if you're, I could say up. I'm really, I want to be the best guitar player, but at every party or gathering, oh, go and get the guitar. It's like, no, yeah. No, you're all right.
Yeah, busman's holiday.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah, so I would love to be the woman that could stand in front of it and say, right, this is how to do the most, and it be right, the most delicious shepherd's pie you've ever had. Don't know what it is that would make it extra special, but there's something about it that every time people taste it, they go, that's the best one I've ever tasted.
Put beans in it.
The best roast potatoes.
Yeah.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Roast potatoes are overrated.
Yeah, roast potatoes are, some people like them. You have to get it right to the person, because Bob likes them crispy on the outside and fluffy in the middle.
Well, they could be hollow if
I
like
do.
It.
They
could be hollow. I mean, just give me a bag of crisps.
Cheese and onion.
Yeah, well
next Vic, time we have a roast dinner.
Vic did a roast dinner and she gave me all the crispy bits, all the really small.
Oh, you're like my dad, he likes all the burny sort of bits.
I want it to really cut me gum.
I don't want to chance my teeth anymore. Well, thank you very much. But that's what I'd like to be. I'd like to be a chef that's kind of known for.
Would you want to be a celebrity chef on TV or just be.
Not necessarily.
Just have a book out now and again.
Yeah, book out every now and again.
Okay.
But that everybody would say you've got.
Yeah, she's the go-to woman for homemade.
Yeah.
You know.
If you want the basic fare and you want to, and can cook on the cheap, you know, there's lots of things you can do with mince. We lived on.
Oh, I know.
We lived on it.
My childhood was a conveyor belt of mince. Yeah.
We didn't have any money for proper meat, so that was it.
Good times. Never did me any harm.
No.
And I always went more for volume.
Oh yeah, God, she still does. I mean, look at Dave.
Pillsbury dough, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you, Dave?
Drawing.
Oh yeah, drawing. Yeah. It was you and Kate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Out of all the questions, I think this was my hardest, because I could say, "Oh yeah, I want to be the best stand-up," but then
but you already are.
You've heard my mango joke, haven't you?
Yeah, that was shit. Yeah, okay. It's all like that.
Yeah. But then I started to go. I went through writer, director, actor, and then I thought about the people that I really respect, and I thought about people like Jack Nicholson or Clint Eastwood. Those actors that don't that pass the test of time, like they're just gold. You know, you remember their films; they're iconic. I'd love to be the best. One of them. I don't know what that is, but the actor that
you'd be unlikely to be the best one to everybody, because everyone's got a different taste.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But there's nothing that I because I you know I suppose playing the guitar. But as I said, I don't want to be. Oh, go and get the guitar. Go and play a tune. And it's like, oh no, I don't want to be that bloke. Because once that's it, the party's over, isn't it? So, I suppose I would say actor. Yeah, I think getting an award or an Oscar would be amazing. Sorry, I was a bit distracted there. Mum's laughing her head off. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Okay, mother's laughing at nothing. On that note, I think I think while Mum gathers herself, I'm not sure why what's going on. Don't worry, podcasters, we don't know either. So it's time for Diary. Make it a good one, Dave. It's our 100th episode.
Oh, Friday the 16th of July, 1971. Work. At night, play tennis over Ruskin Park. Then, go up the off licence. Cheaper than the pub.
What did you buy?
Beer.
Bags.
Yeah, well, yeah, it might be.
And chocolate, surely.
No, no. Beer and
coffee. You got to get chocolate bar.
Beer and chocolate don't go well together.
Sure about that.
Have you ever tried it? That was Diary. Wimbledon, obviously, still going on.
Yeah, it must be coming to an end now. It's been gone a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Need that to finish.
Right. What song lyrics mean something to you? Or you think are just good song lyrics? We go first, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, again, I went through the meal of this one because I love Papa Roach. Papa Roach are my favourite band ever. Okay. They've passed the test of time. They are amazing. I've been seeing them live at the Roundhouse where I did the Grime Awards, which was amazing. But there's only one song that's ever come out that I've thought, oh, my God, that is exactly how I feel. And at the time I was. And it's by Linkin Park. And it's called Numb. And at the time I was married to the devil. And just...
I'm not back.
Yeah. And I just, I was lost. I didn't know who I was or what I was doing or what I was supposed to be doing. Everything I did seemed to be wrong. So yeah, it's just the lyrics, and I'll read one out to you now.
I'm not going to cry, am I?
No. Just an example. Every step I take is another mistake. It's just everything. Every lyric in that, I felt like they were singing about me, and it's a bit rocky as well, which is kind of my vibe. Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
Me?
Yeah, go on, Paul.
Oh, mine? it's So What by Pink.
Oh, okay. I didn't expect that.
Oh, okay. No, when I was going through my breakup.
Oh, it's a breakup thing, yeah. I think songs are really important to a breakup.
This song, I'm not... Pink got me through my split.
Papa Roach got me through mine. And I'm serious, yeah.
It's really stupid. But every time I felt really fed up, really done, I remember me and his dad, we'd just had a big row, we'd split up and everything. We'd split up a few weeks, and I got in the car, and it was the first time I heard the song. And you know when you listen to everyone's, now the words are a bit weird, they're not
like... But it's a real, like, fuck you song, isn't it?
Yeah, and I listened to it in the car, I was ready to get another fight. Oh, you know when you're, this is me. And then every time I felt a bit fed up, a bit down about it all, I put that song on. By the end, I was like, yes, I've got this. So that was mine.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So, they're both. It's that song, isn't it? Yeah.
It's so good.
So the timing of that coming out and your breakup was kind of timed quite well, yeah. Yeah.
So thank you, Pink.
Thank you, Pink. Thank you, Linkin Park. Kate?
I couldn't find one.
Oh, come on.
I didn't, I don't have one for you.
Not the Things in the Attic. What's it called?
Panic at the Disco.
That's
the Panic at the Attic.
You know what I mean?
Nothing reaches out.
What about any Nirvana, as they've been mentioned before?
It smells like Teen Spirit.
Do you know any of their other songs, Mum?
No. No, I don't, but I really like that one. She's weird.
Well, have a little think. We'll come back to Kate. Have a little think. Mother?
Well, I kind of got two, if I'm sorry to be greedy yet again. I've got Mother by John Lennon.
Mother.
How does that go?
You had me, but I never had you. Wifey was adopted as a child.
Yeah.
So she had me, but she never...
Had me.
So the first time I ever heard it, and he screams at the end, and he had a traumatic childhood, didn't he? His mother died and all that sort of stuff. So, and the words just kind of, I was like, oh my God, it's like it's written it for me.
Yeah.
It's written for me. So that song's always, but I don't like it when it gets all screamy at the end. I don't like that. It's at the beginning when it's gentle.
Barbara Streisand does a version of that, funny enough.
Yeah, I might have to listen to that then. And the other one.
Does
is,
she scream at the end?
No, but she's not as polished as she normally is. I mean, she's got a great voice, isn't she? Yeah. So you know, go on, Jack.
It's a song you've got to sing with, you know, you've got to mean it, I think. And my second one is Long and Winding Road.
Oh, I like that song.
Because that reminds me of Dave.
Oh, when that's really nice.
When we were going out together, we lived quite a distance apart from each other, and it was a long and very winding road to get to see each other. So we always said that was one of our songs.
Yeah, it was one of our songs.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that means a lot. Whenever I hear that, it takes me way back.
Down that's that winding road. Yeah, that's a good one.
I've got a couple, and they're both George Harrison. And they're both short, but they're both true, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't it a pity?
Yeah.
Isn't it a pity? Now isn't it a shame how we break each other's hearts and cause each other pain? Oh. Which is so true, isn't it? Yeah. We do. And it's normally the people closest to you that it happens to. So that's why.
Poetry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And the other one is a brilliant song called Beware of Darkness. And he says, he's saying, beware of darkness, beware of this, beware of that. But he gets to this line, he goes, beware of sadness. It can hit you, it can hurt you, make you sore, and what is more, that is not what you are here for.
Oh.
So that's true as well, isn't it? I mean, you shouldn't be here to be upset and have pain. You should be here while you're here and you're short.
Yeah, so true.
3 score and 10. But to lighten the load, I've gone to Benny Hill and Ernie. And it's a song.
He drives the fastest milk float in the West.
It's just a brilliant, he's almost a poet, this bloke, I'll tell you. He was big in the States, wasn't he, for a while?
He was in the Italian job, wasn't he?
Yeah. Now, the song is Ernie the Milkman, he's Sue at number 22, he's getting his end away there. But then he gets a rival, Ted, two-ton Ted from Teddington, who drove the baker's van. And then it goes, one lunchtime, Ted saw Ernie's horse and cart outside her door. It drove him mad to find it was still there at 4:30. As he leapt down from his van, hot blood through his veins did course, and he went across to Ernie's cart and he didn't half kick his horse, whose name was Trigger. Now, this is the bit. Oh, shit, I've lost it. Now, Ernie rushed into the street, his gold top in his hand. He said, if you want to marry Susie, you'll fight for her like a man. Oh, why don't we play cards for her? He sneeringly replied. And just to make it interesting, we'll have a shilling on the side. That's great, isn't it?
It is a funny song. Yeah.
It's just that one, that line there. If you want to marry Susie, you'll fight for her like a man. And why don't we play cards for her? And just to make it interesting, we'll have a shilling on the side. I was like, that's great.
Good times. I was going to go for Umbop by Hanson.
Oh, God, I used to love that.
I still do. Okay, there's nothing wrong with it. Or Eiffel 65 Blue. I'm blue, dubba dee, dubba
dee. Oh, my God.
My favourite song of all time is Green Day, Time of Your Life. Have you got a favourite song, Pauline?
You've put me on the spot.
What about, I have. What about a song that comes on, you got to go on the dance floor? What's the song?
Build Me Up Buttercup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I tell you a song I actually really like, but it's rubbish, really. But if I hear it, I can't help but be happy. Is Pharrell Happy?
Because I'm
just
happy.
Love that. I am then happy. Yeah.
It is that song. Yeah, it's true. That. It's true.
Yeah, that comes in my head.
Kate, did you think of anything?
No.
Oh. It's a shame. What music are you into? What music's cool these days? Is it Bieber?
No.
Is it Billie Eilish, didn't you?
Yeah, she's pretty good. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how to talk about music, really.
Do you like Drake?
No.
Ed Sheeran?
No.
World's Most Boring Man?
Yeah.
I think Ed Sheeran was really lucky with the time of YouTube and that coming up. He just came along at the right time.
I don't get Ed Sheeran at all. I don't see the fascination.
I don't mind it. Yeah, I don't mind it. It was all right. Bit like Coldplay in a way.
Yeah. Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon, yeah. Sex on Fire.
That's one. That's one to pogo to.
Yeah, it is.
I will go and seek Bob out when that comes on, and we will go on the dance floor.
She will.
I can't pogo like I used to because my knees won't take it, but I'll have a bloody good go.
Mine and my mum's song is Sex on Fire. Brilliant.
That's weird. And you call her wifey.
And I call her wifey, yeah. It gets weirder by the moment. So we've got to get it off your chest, as I mentioned. As we've got to get it off your chest. So I'm just going to get it ready. And guess who it is?
Jess!
It's my mate Jess! It's finally! Oh, it's taken us to the episode 100 to get Jess to do a Get It Off Your Chest. She is an ex-workmate of mine. She's really nice, but we've had her nan, her mate, her sister, and now it's Jess's turn.
Well done, Jess.
So here she is.
I hate it when people play their music out loud on the train. There's a thing called headphones, so it's really selfish to make everyone else listen to their rubbish music when we don't want to. So yeah, I wanted to get that off my chest. Also, congratulations on your 100th episode. I love the podcast, although I have to say, Pauline is the most hilarious person and she's my favourite.
There you go. Aww, there you go, really Jess. Nice. There you go, little message at the end there, just for you, Pauline.
A woman with little taste, I would say.
Yeah, she's weird herself, so that's why. Stick the weirdos together. But headphones, no headphones on a train or a bus or whatever. Does that happen? Does it?
Yeah, it used to happen on the train when I used to commute up to London. You'd have some idiot playing it out loud. And just...
What if it's a song you like? What if it's Build Me Up Buttercup?
No, see, because for me, when I was on the train, because I was commuting 4 hours a day, I'd want to sleep. So that would be really annoying.
Playing it out loud? I don't think I've ever... Oh, yeah. I mean, loud headphones, I get. I've had that. But
I've had, like, people watching videos on a train. Just like,
what, out loud?
Just on their phone.
Oh, Dave does that on the sofa. It's so annoying. And Mum, sitting in bed a little while back, just, you know when you go through the videos and like 2 seconds of every video plays? Oh, God. For about 3 hours.
Only did it to wind you up.
Worked, didn't it?
I hate that woman. I actually remember when I was on the train once and I was into my clubbing days and I was listening to like dance music with headphones on the train and I was listening to it, and then I got up to get off the train, and a woman said to me, "You can turn that down, you know." And I said, "Sorry." She went, "You can turn that down." And the doors hadn't opened yet. I felt really bad, and then I took it out and put it on my chest to see if it was loud, and it was quite loud, and I felt really bad. I felt really guilty about it, and I said, "Sorry," and I walked off. And got all scared, and then on my commutes all the time then going to work, I used to put it on my chest to sort of hear it how they hear it, and think, oh no, it's too loud, and play barely it really quick. Barely hear
so you
it.
Couldn't hear it either.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Sort of related to that is the knobheads who go around in traffic or driving around with their car doors car windows open and blaring out, you know.
Just bass. Boom. Yeah.
Oh,
boom.
That real
quick. I mean, it's not for them, is it? It's for us. Look at me, everybody. Mind you. We're baseball cap the wrong way round and no shirt
on. Don't talk to me about baseball caps the wrong way round, Dave.
And their car dragging along the floor because it's only an inch off the ground. What's that all about?
My ex used to be like that, though, when we were first together.
Yeah, but if they go for a sleeping policeman, they're going to scrape the
car. Why is the policeman sleeping in the road? Idiot. I've done it, okay? When I had my orange car, my orange Ford ST, wasn't a Tesla.
Oh, you know it was a Ford?
Yeah, barely. And I don't know, it does give you that kind of windows down on a sunny day playing music. It just...
You look like a complete knob.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because you feel like...
The knob.
Oh, God, not that again. But it does make you feel like a bit of a... I mean, the kids loved it. When I picked up the kids and I had the windows open, play this song, play that song, and it was like boom, boom. Yeah. They loved it. It was brilliant. I had to get rid of it in the end.
Oh.
Yeah. Well.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. The house is more important.
Yes. What, your house?
No, not mine, yours.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's true. If my fiance's listening, yeah, that's true. So thank you, Jess. I didn't play the tune for you, but I'll play it now. That was
Get It Off Your Chest.
And there we go. Thank you, Jess. Finally,
yeah,
episode 100. And of course, she did say, and all the weirdos.
Congratulations on your 100th episode. I love the podcast. Although I have to say, Pauline is the most hilarious person and she's my favourite.
There you go.
Do you know what? I can't get my head around that people are listening. In my mind, this
it's just us.
Chat, I get a bit scared when I realise other people actually hear this. I don't think about that, otherwise I wouldn't say nothing.
Well, saying that, I mean, we've just gone to 50 countries, haven't we?
50 though? Countries. Costa Rica was their 50th country.
Yeah. More. We got more countries listening to us than are in the World
Cup.
Do
you know what episode they listened to in Costa Rica?
No.
Pauline's Memorable Moments.
You're joking.
Honourable Mentions.
Honourable Mentions, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They probably won't listen to no more.
So no, they haven't so far.
they don't speak English, so they didn't understand a word.
Like, they've given us one star. But thank you very much, Jess, and I hope that we get the rest of the Jess clan to get it off their chest. If you've got to get it off your chest or you want to join in, just message us on Facebook or on any other
email way. Address.
Email podcastelimination@gmail.com. Join us. And we'll debate it, see if your get it off your chest is worth it or not, like we did with Jess. Anything else, Dave?
No, I think that's about all their questions over.
All the questions are done. I did want to say thank you to all the people that have sponsored Elimination since we started, all the musicians letting us play their music, everybody who's ever done a past Get It Off Your Chest, really appreciate it, and you. He's listening right now, whoever you are, wherever you are, we really, 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 really appreciate you.
Okay.
Here's to all the listeners.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends, spread the word.
Spread the gospel.
Yeah, and we shall be back.
And
go on, Pauline.
And just a shout out to Mike, because he couldn't make it today.
He couldn't make it today, but he's represented by his spawn, Katie Rivett. Was it enjoyable?
Yeah, I had a good time. Thank you for having me.
Was you bored a bit halfway through? You fell asleep a little bit?
No.
Yeah, you got your phone out and like kids do. Yeah. All right. So much sass. She gets that from Mike. Anyway, that is the end.
How come she talks so nice, yet Mike talks like a yob?
Well, because you brought Michael up and Michael brought Kate up.
And she's
don't
so
talk
pretty.
Like me. What? That's it.
You're so not. I'm not saying Mike's not.
That's not pretty.
The mum's not pretty, but she's so pretty.
Pretty ugly.
Oh, I love it. Oh, nice little insult for the grandchild there, Dave. Like
no, that's
that.
For Michael.
Oh, right. I thought you meant Kate, yeah, because it's more believable.
Kate thought it was Kate as well.
So.
You're all wrong then, weren't you?
I'm going to end on a song. I haven't got anything prepared. I completely forgot about the song.
I could always sing it.
Absolutely useless.
Yeah. I thought the band was sponsoring us and you should have.
Yeah, for the round of 16. Oh, okay, yeah, but not for. Yeah, for the, okay. But I'm still going to play them.
Pauline can sing us a song.
Yeah, well, I just said I can sing us out. One
I will always love you, but.
No, let me quickly find a song. Quick.
anything.
Yeah. Right, okay. Okay, wait. We're not going yet.
Wait for it.
I need to know what the hell is going on.
Horrible little man.
I need a wee.
Oh God!
Oh, you have to lower the tone, don't you?
Right. Okay. Here we go. This is "Lucid Dreams" by Maze. They are sponsoring our round of 16, so there will be a Maze song at the end of every episode. This was our 100th episode. It's been epic getting here. Thank you for joining us, and here's to the next 100 episodes. See you later.
Bye.
Why is it all? I'm waiting in line for my turn. Some people stop, some people learn. But it always seems to me, no matter what you choose to be, someone will always bring you the end. When they stop and when they stare, don't walk away, don't show you care. Someone will always break everything in. What's on the other side?